This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
The man leading the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a personal email server and Russian interference in the 2016 election testified before Congress this week. Agent Peter Strzok, the personification of the righteous left, thinking they know better than the rest of us, was a composite of pompous, arrogant, indignant, sarcastic, smug, condescending, defiant, and unapologetic.
I came back and I said, what is going on? What's the big deal? So I got a transcript. I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realized that there is a need for some clarification.
President Trump cowered in the presence of Putin, and the entire world watched and saw that. Trump's eagerness to sell out America proves the Russians must have something personally, politically, or financially on President Trump.
Tiger Woods says he wants to make the $10 million money match between him and Phil Mickelson happen, which leaves us all waiting on the best one-on-one golf matchup since Happy Gilmore versus Shooter McGavin. I wish I made that up. Both of these guys have the coin, with Tiger's net worth at $740 million. Phil's is at $365.
It might be as important as he rips one into left. Back at the wall, Aaron Judge. Home run. The 26-year-old who has electrified the Bronx and baseball shoots one out of here.
Two out, nobody on, and that is hit by gone. Trout into left. It is gone. 2-0 American League on solo shots by Judge and Trout.
I'm not going to do it. I promised myself, Bernie, and this goes back to a conversation you and I had yesterday, nothing to do with Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, nothing to do with the British Open about to start at Carnoustie tomorrow, nothing to do with Aaron Judge hitting a home run and Jacob DeGrom giving up a home run, nothing to do with any of that stuff. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, now, hold on a second while I get on the edge of my seat. Now, go ahead.
Well,
he's not going to do what?
I think the biggest story of the day, obviously Trump, Putin, Trump's, my opinion is he's stupid again. I mean, just go with it. You made a mistake. You said the wrong thing. But to try to clear it the way he did, to clarify it and say he missaid a word, I thought was beyond stupid. But before we get there, okay?
Go ahead.
Here we go. The story of the day takes place, Bernard, right downstairs later on tonight. 100 shows for Billy Joel. 54th, by the way, residency show since they announced back in 2014 that along with the Knicks, the Rangers, and the Liberty, Billy Joel's house is now MSG. But yesterday, you and I kind of went back and forth about where music is. It was late in the show, but where music is today, and guys started calling in And I said that the Kendrick Lamars of the world, who's on the cover of Variety magazine this week, and he's won a Peace Prize or a Pulitzer, who knows.
You mean Kendrick Lamar of Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe?
Thank you.
Fame?
All these guys that basically there's no music. They steal other people's music and throw in their own lyrics. And the songs are nasty and stupid and hateful. And there is no music today. There's no more bands today. And there it is right there. Billy Joel. I mean, is there anybody today, he's been doing this for a very long time, over four decades, I get that you can say down the road, here's somebody like that, Bernie?
Sure.
Who?
Sure, absolutely.
Who do you got?
Man. It would be...
Sam Hunt?
No, it would be Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Who was the kid downstairs? You and I went for lunch 2 weeks ago, and the kids were laying outside on the street in the afternoon.
Oh, that was Harry Styles.
Yes.
Oh, my daughter loves him.
Yeah, no, well, look, to be serious, look, there's nobody. Of course not. I mean, we know that. There is nobody. That's over. That era of good music, well, there's certainly a lull in the action. There's no new music coming out like that.
Everything is digitized.
There's no stars.
Right.
No, there's nothing like that. There is nothing. And it's all being eclipsed by a lot of this, a lot of the rap music today. That's, you know, where it's not really music. It's just talking and it's synthesized nonsense. Let's see.
I mean, look, you know, you think about Billy Joel's songs. He's talking about Lena there, but whether you're sitting down.
Listen, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let me go. Kelly Clarkson.
Very good. Country, though.
Kelly
Country.
She's not country.
Country
she's
pop.
Pop.
Okay, pop. Okay, good.
Rihanna is a star. I mean, she didn't put out just a...
How many great Rihanna songs can you mention? Five?
She's got one right now called Havana, which is great.
It's a good song. Umbrella's a good song.
That's Camila Cabello.
That's what I meant to say. Camila Cabello's another
Rihanna.
One on the way up.
She's got four or five good songs you may recognize.
All right.
You're not talking about
I got
albums.
Your point. Of course you're
it's
right.
It's over, man. It's over.
All right. What do you want to do?
I want to continue to bitch about it. If you want to, you can bitch about the Democrats. I'll bitch about the music.
It's fine.
I'm angry.
I'm glad that there's so much music from the past that it suffices. It's satisfactory.
Thank God it's still around, right?
You have all kinds of channels on Sirius satellite radio that you can choose from, and you can get it.
And Pandora, too, by the way. They've got all that stuff. But like with Billy's songs, you know whether you sit down, Bernard, at an Italian restaurant and have a bottle of red or a bottle of white. You know, only the good. Like, you know the words. Like, you know, I challenge anybody who doesn't work at a hip-hop station to really know the words, not even the words, but the... whatever the inner meaning is of some of these songs that are so popular today, I challenge them. And yet, almost every Billy song I bring up, you'll know what's going on in that song. You'll know.
No doubt about it.
Billy Joel,
Bruce Springsteen,
John
Bon Jovi, Elton John.
Sting.
Robin.
Sting was great.
Something
is great.
You sitting on something?
Always.
Sting's actually performed with Billy.
Of course.
Since the residency shows.
But now he's partnered up with Shaggy.
Yes.
Right.
I know. You know, it's funny you say that. They were here at WPLJ. They were here about 6 months ago. So I ran out of the show. You remember this?
I was so jealous, Jose, of you.
Jealous. So I go to Mike Allen, one of those guys there that thinks they're very important. I go, I want a picture with Sting. And like, good, you Sting. And I'm like, who's the black guy? They're like, that's Shaggy. I go, I just want a picture with Sting.
Exactly.
You know, so the picture's ruined because it's me, Sting, and Shaggy.
Photoshop him out.
Yeah, no, you ran back there like, I don't know, like Governor Christie running back to the picnic table because he forgot something. Whatever. But this Shaggy guy, you know, is in the United States Marine Corps. He's got this Jamaican-sounding accent.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's American.
But he's cool. You know, again, I challenge you to give me five great Shaggy songs. Five.
Wasn't Me is the only one I know.
Wasn't Me.
Right, that's a great song.
But he plays banging on the counter.
Right.
Wasn't Me.
He also, he works with people. He collaborates.
Oh, he's one of those.
You know what I mean? One of those.
Genius.
Stop challenging me. It's 6:15.
But yet if I said to you, this is no challenge, Bernie, just reel off 10 Billy Joel songs.
I love Billy. Billy Joel is
give me 10.
A legend.
You'll do it in 2 seconds. 10 songs in 2 seconds.
10 Billy Joel songs.
Of course, I'll take you 2 seconds.
Here's another challenge. Give me a list of
this
10 Billy Joel songs.
This is not a challenge.
You know, I'm still under the influence of Ambien. I'm trying to freaking wake up. I'm going to list 10.
Zanzibar, Miami 27.
No, she's reading. I can see her eyes. She's running.
I wrote them down.
These are the songs I gave her for today to use on the show.
No, these are great songs. Yeah. And I can sing along. There's one right there. It's, give me a song. It's a melody.
Oh,
give me a
piano
song
man.
Tonight.
That's a piano man, right?
I mean, there are so many.
That's a classic.
The Uptown Girl. There's so
Captain
many.
Jack, Legend of Billy the Kid.
Yes.
Moving Out. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Are we in some sort of disagreement here?
No.
Not at all.
No, we aren't. But I do know that yesterday you were giving me a little bit of a tough time.
No,
because you want me to come along.
All of a sudden, you started to sound like everybody's grandfather.
Well, that's what it is.
The music today is crap.
What do you want me to tell you it is? I'm not gonna lie or make it sound better because I don't want to sound like somebody's grandfather. This right here, this is music.
9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Come on, sing along.
A regular crowd shuffles in.
Come on, Joe.
There's an old man sitting next to me.
Making love
to his tonic and gin.
Makes me want to drink.
Makes you want to do warm. Mike downstairs, it's stout.
Who plays a harmonica in a band?
Toots Thielman. One of the greats.
Toots.
He said, son, can you play me a melody?
You know, this works out perfectly. Obviously, still the biggest story of the day is Donald Trump and Putin. And we're going to talk to a guy, talking about Billy Joel in Long Island, that's a Trump guy, but was very, very critical of Donald Trump. On Fox News yesterday, our favorite congressman, Peter King, talking about Billy Joel on Long Island, set to join us in about 30 minutes. Judge Jeanine Pirro will be here as well. The Mooch making his weekly appearance. Also, possibly Mark Canizzaro on the British Open. And Chaz Palminteri, who, by the way, will take part later on this afternoon in the tribute alongside Knicks and Rangers owner James Dolan and Governor Andrew Cuomo as Billy Joel gets set to host show number 100 later on tonight.
Woo!
At the Garden. We'll come right back.
Chance the Rapper will be opening for him.
Now John at the bar is a friend of mine. He gets me my drinks for free. And he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke. But there's some place that he'd rather be. His face, but I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Oh, la 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 di di da, la la di di da, da da.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hey, everyone. You know, TV watchers love those performance variety shows. But remember, they're real people. And clearly, after last night's America's Got Talent disaster, we know they're real tricks. A daredevil husband and wife trapeze act went horribly wrong. Oh, it was so, so bad to watch. After performing some incredible stunts, this married duo went for the coup de grace, a trick where the blindfolded husband catches the wife, which did not happen. It was a high, hard crash to the ground, which could have broken her neck or, you know, any number of bones. Thankfully, though, she was okay. The duo immediately asked to perform the blindfold act again.
I don't think there's ever been a singer on any of our competitions who's been note perfect.
In other words, Simon says no. Speaking of hubby-wife duos, newly minted WWE star Ronda Rousey's husband was asked if he'd be down for a tag team deal. Travis Brown is himself a fighter for the UFC, but he's back at Ronda's first home. That was the UFC as well. TMZ caught up with him, and here's what he said.
Say no to the possibility of going out there and wrestling. I'd love to go out there and work with my wife.
TMZ also wondered if he thinks his wife will ever go back to the UFC.
I love seeing her happy, and I've never seen her more happy than right now.
Wow.
Travis, by the way, is 6'7", 255 pounds. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
So Jilly sent out a tweet at Bernie and Sid, of course. That's our Twitter account. Give us your favorite Billy Joel song. We're going all day Billy Joel today, about to perform show number 100 downstairs at Madison Square Garden tonight, and we'll try to play it. Patsy, our dear friend Patsy, already chimes in with, she's always a woman to me. I got this friend of mine, Bernie. He's one of the top ticket brokers in the New York area. His name is Jim Linott. And he's got me tickets from everything from the Golden State Warriors versus the Knicks downstairs to Taylor Swift coming this weekend. Anyway, he's got great Billy Joel tickets for every single show. And he said, listening to you and Bernie right now, best show on radio, here's what I want to do for you guys. I want to throw you guys a pair of free Billy Joel tickets, not for tonight, but for any future show. Wow. He's got the first six rows on the floor for every Billy Joel show at Madison Square Garden. He's at Jim at OnlineTicketsUSA.com. We'll get that to Leslie Slender and Jimmy Linott, saying next time Billy Joel is at the Garden.
Very nice.
Bernie and Sid can give away a pair of tickets. Very nice.
Can we keep them?
Can we what?
Keep
Can we keep them for ourselves?
Of course we are.
Nice.
Kidding me?
No, listen, Jimmy, thank you for that. And, yeah, it's a big deal. But there's nobody more New York than Billy Joel. Strong Island, and just New York all over.
You have to go to one of these shows. Have you been to MSG with Billy?
I have, yes.
It's amazing.
You know, you say that, and now that I think about it, because Bruce Springsteen is New Jersey,
Bon Jovi is
New Jersey.
That's right.
So is there anybody, I can't even think of another New York.
No, there's nobody. He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's been around forever, and he's still wildly popular. So, yeah, he's the ultimate New Yorker. And even if you want to throw in Tri-State, I'll put him over Bruce and definitely Bon Jovi any day.
I can't do that.
All right. That's fine.
To me, him and Bruce.
Jim, don't listen to this.
Hey, when Bruce comes to town, we'll get tickets from Jim, too.
My man.
But I think you're right. I think there's, I can't even think of it. Is Tony Bennett?
No, Neil Diamond is.
Oh, Neil Diamond's, but yeah, he's New York. Right.
Barbara Streisand.
You know
Barry Manilow.
I would say Peter King is more New York.
Oh, absolutely.
Peter King, yes. Yeah, he was tough on your guy yesterday.
Long live the king. Yeah, everybody was tough.
But by the way, he was tough on President Trump before the president, who for a smart guy sometimes, again, just my opinion, is really stupid, to try to convince people he meant to say wouldn't instead of would.
He had to do an about face.
Yeah, but not and that. You're going to do it that way, Bernie? I meant to say wouldn't, and I said would.
I don't know how he was supposed to do it, but he did. He had
just
to
say I screwed up.
He had to. He did say he screwed up. He said he misspoke.
No. When you say you misspoke, you're not really admitting you screwed up. He was saying his intentions was
whatever.
To say one. No, it's not whatever. These are the things that put him into trouble. Now, you brush it off as whatever.
I understand.
But for his critics, it's really stupid.
Listen, the fact of the matter is, he strikes out sometimes. I said it yesterday. I use a baseball analy, but he hits a lot of hits, okay. a lot of doubles, a lot of triples, a lot of home runs.
That's fine. But when he
strikes, I'm not going to dwell on it.
But why not?
Because he's my guy.
Okay, but he's not my guy.
Because I'm loyal.
Okay. Well, he's not my guy.
It's easy to be somebody who jumps on and off a train.
Okay.
I'm going to stay on the train.
Okay.
And he screwed up, and he tried to fix it. No, it wasn't pretty. He's not, and it proves he's not impervious himself to leftist hysteria, which is what we're witnessing. He buckled. And he reversed course, and he said he came up with a lame excuse, whatever it is, and that's that. What am I supposed to tell you?
Well, I just think it's silly, and I kind of like him, too. Obviously, that you and I are going to rejoice and celebrate when he does something well, but when he F's up in a big way like this, you want to brush it off as, listen, he's great, he hits home runs, and let's move on and talk about Billy Joel.
It's not even in a big way. It was words. It wasn't substance. Words,
No. No, no. It was a big way. It was words, but it was a meeting with the head of
That's
Russia.
Right, but his behavior towards Russia, and I mentioned this many, many times, his behavior is a lot tougher on Russia than any of the previous presidents. Hey, get back to me when he sells Russia 20% of our uranium.
I got you.
All right?
I got you.
Sanctions. I mean, more sanctions he put on them than even Congress wanted. He allowed Obama had an embargo of arms sales to the Ukraine. He lifted that. He expelled more Russian diplomats than Obama did. He killed 200. Russian soldiers bombing Syria to protect their little Muslim children. That's the kind of racist he is. He's strengthening NATO. He's trying to scuttle the energy deal between Germany and Russia. So his behavior is what matters. That's what's important.
Okay.
Substance.
Listen.
Yes, he screwed up. I agree with you.
But I said that myself. Okay, fine. But here's what talk radio is about. Pat Riley may be the greatest basketball coach, president, GM in the history of the game. But just like Donald Trump, Pat Riley even screwed up. Bill Parcells even screwed up. So when the coach screws up, we talk about the screw-up. We don't talk about the fact that Riley won championships with the Lakers, or he got the Knicks to the finals. We take each situation at its hand. And if we're going to be the type of show that's going to run and dance and celebrate when Donald Trump does something good, but when he doesn't, all we're going to talk about is the prior regime,
that's not true.
We've got no credibility. No.
Yesterday, I was 6 o'clock in the morning. He made a mistake.
Okay, but now he's made it worse. So today, let's talk about why.
No, he didn't make it. He made it better. No, he said, look, I have faith in our intelligence community. He's not sticking to his guns by saying, I trust Putin over I believe Putin over our intelligence community. That status quo was untenable, and he changed it.
Okay, but there were two things. First of all, trying to convince us that he used the wrong word. He thinks we're a bunch of morons. That is bad. And secondly, he doesn't think we're a bunch of morons. Yes, he does.
He had to correct himself.
No. But his correcting himself insults anybody with half a brain.
What offends me, some of the people, the overreaction on the other side, people like that punk James Brennan, who used to run the CIA, and God knows why, this guy, first of all, this is what he said. Listen to Brennan, what he said.
John Brennan, right.
John Brennan, former CIA director, under Obama, by the way. Listen to what he said.
What Mr. Trump did yesterday was to betray the women and men of the FBI, the CIA, NSA, and others, and to betray the American public. And that's why I use the term that this is nothing short of treasonous, because it is a betrayal of the nation. He is giving aid and comfort to the enemy, and it needs to stop. And Mr. Trump needs to understand that there are going to be consequences for him, too.
Well, he's stupid, first of all. He's very stupid because the Washington Post will tell you treason. We're not at war with Russia. We're not at war. That would be the definition of treason. And not being at war with Russia does not constitute treason in any way, shape, or form. Plus, if you want to talk about treason, this guy takes a paycheck from the America haters at MSNBC. Okay. This guy voted for the Communist Party candidate in 1976.
This guy's a nobody. He's out of work doing TV runs right now.
No, he was a somebody.
He was a somebody, but he's not now.
And he was part of the deep state that tried to screw Trump.
Well, we got that.
Is what he was.
Right.
And he's a moron.
Okay, so.
And so I take more offense at people like that and this other lady at MSNBC who compares what Trump did to listen, Kristallnacht.
We were burglarized this time by foreign agents. And it's just as serious to me as the Cuban Missile Crisis in terms of an attack or the 9/11 attack. And I would say that his performance today will live in infamy as much as the Pearl Harbor attack or Kristallnacht.
I mean, obviously that's over the top.
That's where I reserve my anger for people like her.
But guess what?
And for punks like Brennan.
It's great that you played that audio, and John Brennan is a punk, and that lady's a moron. Still doesn't change the fact that President Trump took a bad situation, and yesterday, while you say that he fixed it, I say he made it worse.
We'll
talk to Peter King. Let's see what he says.
Michael Goodwin says, look, he did the right thing. It was clumsy, but he did it. He had to do it, and he did it.
No one's arguing he had to do it. But the way he did it to make us try to believe that he used the word incorrectly is insulting.
Okay, well, then, you know what? Hillary, run again, please. Hillary, please.
Doesn't have to get that far. What a horrible mistake we made. When you're president, your guy screws up. Be adult about it. Talk about it. It's not about John Brennan or Hillary Clinton.
It's about Trump moving forward.
And don't make these kinds of stupid mistakes and make a bad situation worse. That's all. No one's killing Trump here.
Hillary is doing push-ups right now. And she's coming back. And all will be right with the world again in a very, very short 2.5 years.
God, you're such a baby.
Peter King is next. We're coming right back.
What I say is what I say.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Yeah, I came back. And I said, what is going on? What's the big deal? So I got a transcript I reviewed, and I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realized that there is a need for some clarification.
Back on a Bernie and Sid show, you heard the president making his correction yesterday at the White House. On the line with us right now, we have one of the greatest statesmen in the history of the United States.
The only guy you'd put in the same sentence as the guy singing right now. Of course, this is half a mile away from 52nd Street. Would you put Peter King, Bernard, and Billy Joel in the same sentence as great Long Islanders and great New York people?
Without a doubt. And I know Peter King can play the harp like nobody. Like nobody. He represents the 2nd District out in Long Island, and here he is, Peter King. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Bernie. Good morning, Sid. And there's no doubt, Bernie is the number one man in Long Island. He owns Long Beach. He owns the whole South Shore, the whole bit. It's all Bernie.
You know, you say that.
You're being humble.
Coming up in about 45 minutes, they say he's the pride of Manhasset. He's gone past Mike Francesa, the great Anthony Scaramucci.
Okay, tell him I said hello.
Not a big fan, apparently.
I guess not. Bernie still wins.
No, Anthony and I get along. I have no problem. We just went in different directions in the primary. He supported Michael Grimm, and I supported Dan Donovan. But no, I get along.
Oh, yes, right. No, and he was cool about the outcome.
Very cool. Here's the thing about you, Peter, and I mean this sincerely, and we'll get into the Trump-Putin stuff, but I don't really know anybody. This is a testament to you. I don't really know anybody, even folks on the other side of the aisle, that don't like you. Like, no one's ever said to me, Peter King's a jerk. I've never heard that, ever.
I used to go to some family gatherings.
Yeah.
No, thanks a lot.
Listen, Congressman King, you heard the president there. You came out strongly. President said the wrong things in Helsinki. You put out a tweet. No moral equivalency, between the United States and Russia. Putin's a liar. Russia an aggressor. No purpose in denying that. And you heard the correction from President Trump. What do you think?
Listen, let me start off by saying the president's policies on Russia have been excellent. President Obama's were terrible. Obama refused to send lethal aid to Ukraine. He's the one who invited the Russians into Syria. He's the one who whispered to Medvedev when he was the president, you know, tell Vladimir that after the election I'll be able to basically, you know, do a better deal or be more flexible.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you have that. And then also now you have President Trump coming in with, we've killed Russian fighters in Syria. We're sending lethal aid to Ukraine. We're beefing up defenses in Eastern Europe and in the Baltic states. So again, his policies toward Russia are really very good, certainly compared to Obama. But the president does seem to have, even apart from what he said about the intelligence, when he said before the, before that, when he said, you know, both sides are wrong, both sides are stupid. Well, when it comes to the U.S. and Russia, you know, we're at 90% and they're at minus 10. I mean, over the years, Russia has been a horrible country, and Putin is an aggressor right now. So I wish he could be more realistic about it and just say, listen, we have differences with Russia. Those differences are going to remain. I think we can find a way to work. But to somehow be equating the United States with Russia, it's just wrong. I don't think an American president should do that. I mean, certainly Ronald Reagan never did. His thing was trust but verify. But having said that, I think part of it is the president doubles down. When he's attacked on something, he doubles down. So he's accused of collusion with Russia. And by the way, there is nothing to that at all from what I've seen. Now, the investigation is on, but after all the witnesses they've had, I'm not aware of even a hint of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. But in the president's mind, and that links in with meddling. Now, listen, Mike Pompeo, who was the Secretary of State, when he was the head of the CIA, he said there was definite meddling. Dan Coats, a conservative Republican, is now the director of national intelligence. It was there. There's no reflection on the president to admit that. Not admit it. To say it's true. It happened under Obama. Not under him. And it didn't interfere at all in the last election as far as the results. So, but he just feels that if he's attacked, I guess, on one party can't concede anything. And instead, he should use, like, jiu-jitsu. Say, yeah, there was meddling, but I had no involvement in it. And I warned it had no impact on the election.
Yeah, listen, he screwed up. He, you know, Charlottesville, I thought he also, his words were wrong. I find it funny, though, Peter, and I understand why you guys do it, you, Bernie, and others. I get it. Believe me, I do. But when somebody asks you a question about Donald Trump screwing up, everybody feels a need to be a revisionist. Wow, look what he did here.
That's not revisionist. That's fact.
It doesn't matter whether it's fact. If I'm asking you a question about what he did yesterday, I don't care what he did in Syria last year. We know Trump's policies are good. But everybody is so afraid, the Trump supporters, that he may have screwed up, that they refuse to take each instance. Then it's always got to be, look at the 30 good things he's did.
It's called context.
Okay, but we got it already. Every once in a while, a Trump supporter has to be okay criticizing him and giving me the answer. Did Donald Trump screw up Peter King or not, and did he fix it?
He did screw up, and I think he fixed it, but he's got to just stop saying good things about Russia, and that's all I'm saying. I mean, he's tough on Britain, he's tough on Germany, and he's got to focus on his policies. His policies have been very good. I mean, we are taking strong action against Russia. in his administration. He fortified NATO. The statement that came out of NATO was as strong as any statement, in fact, stronger than any statement NATO has issued in years. There's more money going to NATO. Why is NATO there? To defend Europe against Russia. So, again, his actions are strong, but he gets caught up in the language, and he's just got to get over this thing that to admit meddling, and I admit it, to say it happened, is any reflection on him. It happened under President Obama. But having said that, you're right, though. I mean, there were people who, the anti-Trump people, all these people were yelling about what President Trump said, never said a word when President Obama was caught whispering to Medvedev, you know, wait till after the election, I'll take care of you guys. And nobody said a word when the president invited Russia into Syria. That's probably the worst mistake any president has made toward Russians since Roosevelt at Yalta in 1945.
Well, when Obama and Hillary sold Russia 20% of our uranium, I mean, good Lord, imagine if this president did that. Now, he may be a bit defensive, Congressman King, of course, because he was a victim of a conspiracy, in my opinion, by the intelligence community, some bad actors, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, McCabe, Stroke, all these guys, and the left and the media, which are one and the same, they conflate, as you point out, Russian meddling with Trump collusion, and he knows that, and he's sort of reacting to that whenever he tries to deny, or whatever it is, he doesn't want to admit the meddling thing.
Yeah, listen, there's no doubt the people at the highest levels, you're talking about almost that whole top floor of the FBI there, they were working against Trump, and it's disgraceful what's come out there. You have that, and then you have Comey, who really disappointed me, because I had a certain regard for Jim Comey, but he was telling us during the campaign, you know, behind the scenes and classified testimony, how serious some of these intrusions were by Russia into the Trump campaign. I felt there had to be something there. When we found out what it supposedly was, it's nothing. And so he was part of that whole operation. And again, Brennan of the CIA, I mean, I've been out of the CIA and looked at a lot of those documents. But believe me, there is very good reason to doubt at all, not at all, but to doubt, for instance, did Putin really favor Trump? No. What they were trying to do, I believe, and I think the evidence shows this, is to disrupt the election. Yeah. They want to disrupt the election, which they managed to do, not so, even so much during the election, but now. I mean, 2 years later, we're still talking about it. So Putin succeeded, and largely because of the people who keep this issue going.
You know, on the way out, for as critical as I've been about Trump the last couple of days, for what he said, I totally agree his policies are great and all that, but I do think words do count, so, and I think he screwed up, and I don't think he fixed it. But anyway, it was funny to see Barack Obama yesterday speaking, finally, for the first time in a long time, and what would have been Nelson Mandela's 100th birthday, and going over what politics are today, you would have thought, Peter King, that it was utopia. It was Shangri-La under Barack Obama for 8 years. All his subtle shots at Donald Trump, I found pretty hypocritical and gross yesterday.
Yeah, that to me is wrong. And also, you know, we look at the Obama years and really what did happen during the Obama years. What was great? I mean, even just now, look at the, you know, people talk about the direction of the country and confidence in the country. It's much higher now than it was under Barack Obama. And that's what all of the attacks, all of the barrages thrown at Donald Trump, people still feel better about the country now than they did under President Obama. Again, I go back to one of the greatest foreign policy mistakes any president ever made is, you know, 1970s, Sadat threw Russia out of the Middle East. Now, Obama invited them back into Syria, and now Russia is a major player. Israel has to deal with them. They're close with Iran, close with Assad in Syria. Russia is now a major player in the Middle East because of one reason, and that's Obama inviting them back in. So, no, there was really some kind of glory is attached to this area. It wasn't there. Very little was getting done. And so here we are. But again, I more and more Obama is receding into the past. People don't even talk about him that much. And it's up to Donald Trump, and he has the opportunity to get it done. You got to stay on course.
Congressman Peter King, listen, last question. Hypothetically, I got four tickets Friday night to the Mets-Yankees behind home plate for you. Or, hypothetically, if Billy Joel was playing the Garden that same night, four tickets to go see Billy Joel, which do you take?
I hate to say it, I got to go to the Mets.
All right. That's a real Met band right there. By the way, that game's in the Bronx. It's not even in Queens.
Well, it was a hypothetical. Hey, Congressman King, thank you, man.
Thank you, Peter.
We love you.
Okay, guys. Hey, thanks a lot. Hang in there. Great job, by the way, really.
Thank you. Thank you. We love you, too. The great Peter King.
He is great.
He is. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we have Judge Jeanine Pirro coming up next hour, and Anthony Scaramucci, and a lot of others. Billy Joel morning on Bernie and Sid.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
The man leading the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a personal email server and Russian interference in the 2016 election testified before Congress this week. Agent Peter Strzok, the personification of the righteous left, thinking they know better than the rest of us, was a composite of pompous, arrogant, indignant, sarcastic, smug, condescending, defiant,
yeah,
and unapologetic.
Tell him, Judge.
It's pretty good. Now this, you may remember, that was Judge Jeanine Pirro. She's set to join us momentarily. This one here, Bernard, Miami 2017 by Billy Joel, who once again will hold his 100th show at Madison Square Garden later on tonight, his 54th during this great residency. You may remember back in December of 2012, there was a big tribute show at Madison Square Garden for Hurricane Sandy, which you felt in a big, big way.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Billy Joel performed in between the Rolling Stones and Paul McCartney that night. He did four songs, and he opened with this. Classic Miami 2017. I didn't pay heed. I moved to Boca Raton in 1995, but that's okay. We all come back.
Eventually. We all do.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you heard her voice before. As you listen to Billy Joel, Judge Jeanine Pirro. She hosts a show on Saturday night on Fox News, 9 p.m. Justice with Judge Jeanine. But right now she's got a book out called Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. And she was once named one of People Magazine's 50 most beautiful people.
Wow.
She's on the line with us right now. Good morning, Justice Jeanine.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, could be a lot worse. Yeah, great to have you. I can tell you that. Congratulations on the book, first of all.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, when you were a prosecutor up in Westchester County, I think back in the day, I think I went through the system at that point, and we were at odds. Something like that. I don't know.
But yeah, you better be careful.
I know. Listen, that show of yours on Saturday night, your opens are just classic. I mean, you let them have it in a great way. I love it.
Well, thanks. And you know what? I try to say, you know what, Jeanine? Maybe this week there won't be anything to be to get out there and to be upset about. But I'll tell you, every day there's something going on in this country that's worth a great open. And every day we see the left constantly trying to destroy what is going on in this country and the ability of the president to make America great again. So I had to write this book, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, to talk about what's going on, and it keeps me busy with open.
Yes. Yeah, no, listen. And before we delve more into that, I remember doing my morning show in Miami, Judge Jeanine, years ago, and Bernard was a guest. Now he's my partner. And when Donald Trump was during the campaign, he said, "This is a gift from God. This is a gift that we'll keep giving." 2 years later, he couldn't be more right. Whether Donald does something good or bad, it just ends up being, you know, magnified a billion times. But I will say this, Judge Jeanine. We know that Brett Kavanaugh is the choice now for the next Supreme Court judge. There were a lot of folks that were mentioning your name early on in the process. Was that ever even discussed? Was that ever even a real possibility?
Well, look, I was a judge. I was an elected judge, and I actually left the bench to run for DA, which was what I loved. And honestly, it was something that everybody was talking about but me. And I see it on the cover of, the Daily News, and I'm like, really? They really don't have any sources for this stuff. And it just goes to what I talk about in the book, which is, they make stuff up. And, it kept them busy. But Brett Kavanaugh is a phenomenal choice. I mean, the guy who's almost, he's almost central casting in terms of someone that you would want to be a Supreme Court justice in terms of his background, his experience, of, you know, his judgment as well as the way he conducts himself. The guy is phenomenal. He really is. And he's a nice guy. He's like the guy next door. I mean, you know, he coaches and, you know, he does food pantry stuff and he's humble and he loves his mother.
But he spends too much money on baseball tickets, though, Judge. That's unacceptable.
Well, you know what? We all have our little foibles, but so what? Who cares?
Yeah, no.
That's the point.
You're absolutely right. They're going to turn him into some kind of Nazi, though, before the whole confirmation process is over. They're going to try anyway, but they'll be hard pressed. Judge Jeanine Pirro from Fox News on the line with Bernie and Sid here. The book is Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. It's brand new. The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Speaking of which, Judge. I mean, the real crime that should be investigated here, and I'm sure you bring this up in the book, is that Hillary and the DNC, they bought and paid for the Russian lies with that dossier, which started the deep state to start use that as a pretext to launch this politically motivated investigation against Trump, which is why he's always so defensive when people bring that stuff up.
That's so true. And you know what? When the intelligence people, I don't know why they're called intelligence, that's almost an oxymoron, but maybe it's very accurate because you got to be really smart to make this stuff up. But, you know, they decide, look, let's go pay somebody, this is Hillary and the DNC, let's go pay somebody to make up some crazy stuff so that we can start an investigation, a counterintelligence investigation against Donald Trump. Just in case the guy might become president, we'll have an insurance policy to make sure that we can start some kind of investigation and maybe get him impeached. I mean, this stuff, you know what? If they did a movie on this, no one would go to a specific well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
But, man, they had some imagination. And the sad part is the liars and the people and the left end up promoting this stuff to the point where they think that if you don't buy it, you're treasonous. And that's why I wrote the book. I got to tell you guys, who would ever think that we would be in a situation where we know people in the FBI are lying. We know that they are making stuff up, going to courts, getting warrants to, you know, wiretap American citizens, spying on an opposing candidate's campaign. And everybody's now mad at the guy who was the victim.
That's right.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. That's funny.
That's so well said.
And, you know, you've used this exact phrase now three times, Judge Jeanine, since joining me and Bernie, which is make stuff up. And what's ironic about that is those exact words were uttered yesterday in a place far, far away by somebody on the other side, former President Barack Obama, who said that the right continues to make up stuff today.
You know what's amazing to me? And they do it with a straight face. Everybody knows that they got some guy, this foreign agent with the presidential campaign and the DNC making stuff up about women peeing on someone, prostitutes peeing on Donald Trump, which everybody knows is a lie. Everybody knows it is. And what they say is, how dare this guy say the intelligence community isn't the most pro-American, pro-honest, wonderful agency in the United States. I mean, what would you do, guys, if your enemy paid an agent to say that you guys go to Russia and have prostitutes pee on you, and it's not true?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's your real Russian collusion and these guys, these deep state creeps doing some domestic meddling in our political campaign. I mean, it's outrageous, really. And then Trump in Helsinki, he puts his foot in his mouth, and these deep state creeps like John Brennan, the former CIA director, calling it treasonous. I mean, they way overreact. Some people comparing it to Kristallnacht. I mean, what do you think about all that, Judge?
Well, you know what? I think it's sad. I think that they've lost their collective mind. They've blown their collective gasket. I think they hate this man so much that I think at times they probably can't breathe. It's so difficult for them.
Yeah, sure.
Look,
yeah.
You know, he was the outsider candidate, and he came at just the right time. He came when we needed him most, when America was going down the rabbit hole. And I think that if anyone, and I talk about this in the book, if anybody wants to know what's going on in America, first of all, you can read my book, how's that, guys? For
that's a no. That's fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. Because what's happened is that the president is doing all kinds of great stuff, and they're not even talking about it. They're making up stuff, just like they made up that dossier so that they could spy and wiretap American citizens. It is outrageous. Look, we've got more jobs in this country than people to fill them. ISIS, the caliphate, everybody used to worry about, are they going to come over here and cut our heads off? I mean, it is no more. And the middle America and people who believe in this country are in a better position than they were with Barack Obama. And we have to make sure that we don't go left anymore. We don't become socialists. We have to have people respect the flag and respect this country. Otherwise, you don't like it, get the hell out.
Last one for me. Yeah. One of the issues you tackle in the book, Bernie and I had a guest yesterday, Judge Jeanine, by the name of Michael Eric Dyson. And he's got a new book out about how the racial divide is still here, even 50 years after the assassination of Robert Kennedy. And it turned into one big screaming match. You know, he talked about a guy getting shot in Chicago this weekend, and he said he was unarmed, when in fact we know the guy was in fact armed. Black Lives Matter, for example, born under the Obama administration, not Donald Trump. All they've done, in my opinion, is cause race riots, make people even angrier. I'm glad you tackled that in the book as well, because here it was, the first African-American president, and I don't believe the race divide was ever bigger, at least in 40 years, when he was in charge.
Well, you know what, and I agree with you, but if you want something even more objective, you can talk about the fact that the African-Americans, in terms of the economy and jobs, were never worse off. Everybody assumed that it's great, we've got an African-American president, we can put away this idea of there being any kind of racial divide in this country. This guy comes in. He doesn't do anything for African Americans. They couldn't get jobs. He soaks up all kinds of racial hatred, starting with who's the guy in
In Ferguson, Missouri, Michael Brown.
Right. Michael Brown. And now this Donald Trump comes in, the outsider, who says, hey, what do you got to lose? We elect him. African-American unemployment has never been lower. I mean, Hispanic unemployment. People have jobs. People are safe. And you know what? They want to perpetuate this narrative that, you know, everything is horrible in America. They can do that. But people, all they need to do is look at their checks with the tax reform. How many people got more money and more bonuses when the president decided, I'm going to make this work for us and not for, you know, the establishment? Look, he's the outsider, and he's working for us, and that's the end of it.
Hey, that's
politically correct? Not always.
No.
But
no.
He's a good one.
He's a damn good one, and yes, you're absolutely right. Hey, listen, Judge Jeanine Pirro on the Bernie and Sid Show. The book is called Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. It tackles all kinds of topics, the aforementioned Black Lives Matter, Antifa, safe spaces. Judge, you get into it. It's very interesting. I read some of it last night. It's fantastic. Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. By the way, our newswoman, Juliet Huddy, said to say hello to you. She loves you.
Memories of another day. Tell my friend I said hello.
All right, we'll be watching you, of course, on Saturday night at 9 p.m. on Fox News. We'll be watching, and Trump, too, because he loves you like we do, Judge Jeanine. So thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Take care. Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Judge Jeanine, man. She's setting it on fire every Saturday night.
She does. We're not even nearly done. Anthony Scaramucci set to join us in about 15 minutes. Chaz Palminteri, he's going to stop by today. He's taking part this afternoon, Bernard, in the big tribute to Billy Joel, along with Nick owner Jim Dolan and the governor Andrew Cuomo. Maybe some British Open with Mark Canizzaro. An exciting action-packed show. Bernie and Sid on Hump Day, and we're coming back right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliette with your music report. She rocked it. Rain Michaels, the daughter of Poison's Brett Michaels, made her catwalk debut this past weekend in Miami. And what an event to make that debut. It was the Sports Illustrated swimsuit show. The 18-year-old beauty was picked out of 25,000 girls to walk the runway in SI's Swim Search. Here's a clip from her audition.
I've wanted to be a part of the SI Swim family since I saw Kate Upton on one of the covers of your guys' magazines. She's one of my main role models.
And very pregnant these days with Justin Verlander's baby.
Well, she is a woman to aspire to.
Okay.
And Dad was at the event, but he graciously...
He's a guy to aspire to.
Well, yes. He graciously stayed out of the spotlight so his daughter could be the star of the night.
Oh.
I know. And Destiny's Child singer Michelle Williams has been a passionate mental health advocate. She has spent many, many years trying to make others aware of the issue, empowering people to get help. Well, now it's her turn. Williams recently announced that she is getting treated for depression. She admitted that she had suicidal thoughts even when she was in the midst of Destiny's Child superstardom. In fact, she told a story about how the band's manager, who happens to be Beyonce's dad, Matthew Knowles, kind of blew her off, to say the least, when she told him she was having issues. He actually said, you know, basically, you're rich, you're famous, you're about to go on tour. What do you have to be depressed about? Her words to fans, it's never too late to make a change, and that change will change your life. And finally, the gorgeous British singer with a voice like silk is working on a new album. I'm talking about Sade. Her band's sax player says the band is not feeling pressure from the label, and when it's ready, you will know. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
This one goes out to Jill Vitale. This is one of Jill's favorite Billy Joel songs, right downstairs, 17 floors below us. Later on tonight, Billy Joel will host his 100th show at Madison Square Garden, 54th since his residency started in 2014 when Madison Square Garden became home of the New York Rangers, New York Knicks, New York Liberty, and Billy Joel. Chaz Palminteri will join us in about 90 minutes. There's a big tribute in honor to Billy this afternoon. Governor Andrew Cuomo, Chaz Palminteri, and who's the third person in that group, Jill?
Is
James Dolan.
That's right. The owner of all those teams are all going to be together. So we're going to talk to Chaz coming up at 9. Mark Canizzaro may stop by. New York Post, the British Open, a major tournament going out tomorrow. We'll see Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and our good friend Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, making his weekly Wednesday appearance. But I think the Mooch is here now.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. I texted you yesterday when I saw Peter King going off on the president, and that inspired us, Bernie, to bring on Peter King, which we did in the 6 a.m. hour this morning. Not long before that, I saw Mooch on CNN with our friend Allison Camerota.
Right, I saw. I was sitting here with you.
And he was being very tough on the president, even tougher than Peter King.
Tough love.
Yes, tough love. So with that said, here he is, our good buddy, the great Anthony Scaramucci. Good morning, Mooch.
Well, hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I appreciate you guys saying it's tough love. You know, Peter and I are also very close friends. I think the president respects the New York style of a Peter King or me. We want him to succeed more than anything. You know, and so for me, the stuff I was saying was very constructive, way less critical. Morgan Freeman is trolling me and saying to me that welcome to the resistance. You know, well, I got to just tell Morgan Freeman, a.k.a. God, I'm not part of the resistance. I'm part of patriotic America,
right,
who wants to see the president do phenomenally well, wants to grow the economy and see wages go up for all income classes and all Americans. So for me, the thing that's super important here, which people are leaving out of the equation, is he's trying to reduce global tension, global adversity around the world. You know, he's in North Korea. He's trying to work out something with the Russians. The tension over the last three presidents has gone up, not down, with Russia. Having said that, though, I was tough on the notion of saying stuff about our intelligence agencies on the international stage like that. You can't do that. We're spending $40 billion a year on intelligence gathering. If you bundle the CIA into the NSA, the military intelligence, the FBI, etc., you're probably losing guys, and I know you guys know this, but I want to share it with listeners, you're losing 600 to 700 people a year in the acquisition of this intelligence, and they have more or less kept the United States safe since 9/11. And so these are heroic people. Now, I know the president's upset with a group of them at the top that have politicized and hurt the integrity of these agencies. But I know down deep in the president's heart that he loves the rank and file of these people, whether they're the FBI, the NYPD. You pick the people. You know this guy as long as I know him. his heart and soul is with these people. You know, he's a man of the people. So
yeah.
For me, we can't go in that direction on the world stage. So I'm super happy that he walked it back yesterday. Super happy.
Well, let me ask you about that. I agree with you 1,000%. His policies are terrific. His heart is always in the right place. But he bumbles things. I think he bumbled Charlottesville. I thought he bumbled this terribly. And in my opinion, I did see you say yesterday he's got to reverse his course. And I think he bumbled it again. I mean, to try to convince us that he used the wrong word. Does he think we're that stupid? I meant to say wouldn't. I said would. And then again saying, but I got to tell you, Putin was really, really strong. I mean, if you're going to reverse it and basically admit you effed up, just admit you effed up.
Okay. All right. But you know that that's not a strategy. You know, his lawyer, the one that he really felt the strongest about, who really feels helped him build the, you know, Trump Tower and refurbish the Grand Hyatt, the Commodore Hotel, et cetera. Roy Cohn told him 30, 40 years ago when he was a young man, you know, don't apologize, don't back down in any situation. And so he's lived by that creed his entire life. And so when you step back at his life and you look at the mosaic of his life, he's had unbelievable success as a television star. He's been a successful real estate developer, a successful branding / licensing person. He's built tremendous golf courses. And then he went on in 17 short months to go to the American presidency. So he's got 40 years of instinct and 40 years of sentiment and artifice in his personality where he doesn't like walking things back. He doesn't like backing down. You know, I've only seen him apologize twice, guys. Okay, he apologized after and to his wife, and he apologized in 2 seconds to Theresa May, the prime minister of the UK, last week over the Sun interview. It's the only time I've seen him apologize.
Yeah.
And so for him to walk it back, as it relates to the symbolism in his personality, even though I agree with you, a normal guy like you or me would have said it a little bit more strongly, would have polarized it better. He's 72 years old. He's not changing, fellas. Okay, this is the guy. Okay, and so what you have to do, in my opinion, is, and he respects people like this, is you can't be a sycophant around him. You can't over-flatter him. You got to tell him the truth. And so you guys know this in your business as you're growing your great radio show, and I know it in my business. My best employees, I would rather have my employees tell me, you know, that I'm wrong. You know, if an employee is telling me I'm tall and you guys know I'm short, that's not going to work for me, right? I'd rather have the guy tell me, you know, you're short and wrong as opposed to tall and right if it's going to help the business.
No doubt about it. Anthony Scaramucci on the Bernie and Sid Show. Speaking of what he did in Helsinki, those were words. Substantively, he's been tougher on Russia than any other president we've had in the recent past. But I want to ask you this, Anthony Scaramucci. The left and the media, which are one and the same, they always overplay their hand. He made a mistake. He didn't say the right things. You have Anderson Cooper's in tears, that dummy former CIA director, calling this treason. He doesn't know what the hell treason is. And another lady on MSNBC likening this to the Helsinki event to Pearl Harbor and Kristallnacht. But they always overplay, and that plays into Trump's hands to a certain extent as well.
There's no question. So what they've done is they've dumbed out the normal people in society. They said, okay, you're now, you know, there's an expression in basketball, sometimes you have to play the ball, not the man, right? And so what these guys are doing is they're playing the man all day. He's driving them crazy through his personality, but he really is trying to address the systemic problems that the United States is going to face over the next 25 years. Now, whether you like his personality, the delivery of his personality or not, this guy's got unbelievable instincts. And so what are you talking about? Got to reorder the trade system. We got to refigure our military footprint. Okay, we have to have a burden sharing with our allies now, where 60 or 70 years we didn't need to do that, but as the economies have regrown around the world, we need their help. We've got to figure out a way to dial back tension and toxicity with Russia. We've got to denuclearize the North Korean peninsula. So you think about those things, and you think about you messaging that or me messaging that. It's more acceptable to the liberals, but they don't like him because they trounce their liberal goddess, Hillary Clinton. And they don't like him for that.
I don't like that, right?
Yeah, never gotten over that.
Now get over it. Yeah, it's a loss and it's over. Hey, and one of the reasons...
demonizing them, you know?
Yeah, one of the reasons, Anthony, why you are such a great guest on this show is, first of all, you're very, very bright, and you know the ins and outs of politics as well as any guest we've ever had. I mean, we mean that sincerely. But you've got so many other interests, whether it's Mr. Long Island eating dinner at Capellini's in Manhasset, right on the same list as Billy Joel and all the great Long Island greats. You've got season tickets for the Mets, which is great. Sweets, all that great stuff. So DeGrom gives up a long home run to Mike Trout in the All-Star game last night. Unfortunately, that was his game this year. But he's the big story. His agent comes out Monday and says, hey, if you don't give Jacob a long-term pact, we're getting the hell out of here. Now, Jacob, much like Donald Trump, kind of walked it back yesterday and said, wait, I want to be here. I love the Mets. Ba, ba, ba. So as a diehard Met fan, knowing, Anthony, our team sucks. No athleticism, too old, nowhere near a real title contender. Do you want to see the Mets give DeGrom a ton of money or maybe even entertain the idea of trading him for young talent?
Okay, so I love this kid. You know, I know the kid personally, and I love the kid. He's a David Wright sort of a kid in terms of his personality. And so I'd love to see him stay on the Mets, but it would be better for him and better for the Mets, actually, if they find him a playoff contender to go to, because he'll get to the World Series. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, arguably best this year. They can't win for him. There's no run support there. And unfortunately, fellas, we've got to dunk the team again and rebuild the team from scratch. And so one of the big problems that the Mets have, and I know you guys know this, but I want to share it with people, is they sign these kids, they draft these kids, but they chintz them on the way in. The Yankees do not do that. Not even the Royals do that. You know the Red Sox and Dodgers are not doing that. And so the Mets are chintzing these guys when they're drafting them, and the lowball bids are forcing these kids to go back to college or wait for another round of drafting, where the Yankees, you know, Brian's up there and he's built a whole stable team. You know, so you could dunk the Mets team right now and take over the AAA team from the Yankees, and you got a better shot over the next 5 years. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. Yes, that's very good.
Now I'm sure now because I own a piece of the team, I'm going to yell at for saying all that on your show, but I love the team. You know, same way I love the president, I want to talk honestly to these people because, you know, I want to win.
Right.
You know, and by the way, you know, this kid is a terrific kid. You pay the kid, you're going to have a great pitcher on the team, and he's going to be frustrated like Tom Seaver was. And guys, you know how diehard I am, okay? June 15th, 1977, a tear. Remember that Indian when the pollution was happening in the 70s? A tear drops from my right eye every June 15th because you know what happened on June 15th, 1977. And Donald Grant traded the franchise. Okay, I was 13 years old.
It really wasn't Donald Grant. It was, believe it or not, my former partner on WFAN, my former midday partner, Jody McDonald, that was his father.
Jody McDonald, okay.
Joe McDonald, who traded Tom Seaver for Pat Zachary, Doug Flynn, Dan Norman, and Steve Henderson to Cincinnati.
Good Met trivia course correction, okay?
It was still a bad day.
I got to reduce my Met IQ points, my 5 points for you bringing that up. But I got to just tell you something. We got to let the guy, you know, go. But you got to find very good prospects for him, or you got to find everyday ready-to-play players for him. You know, and by the way, you know, we should be winning. You know, you've got everything that you need to have. You have an amazing ballpark.
Yeah.
You have an amazing fan base. And so we've got to start looking at practices like what happened with Theo Epstein and the Red Sox or the Chicago Cubs. We have to start looking at the best practices in baseball, and we got to bring them here to New York. And we're doing that in the Bronx, guys.
Yeah, we got Cespedes back on Friday, the big Subway Series coming up. So keep hope alive. Anthony Scaramucci, we're out of time, man. But listen, we do love you. You're one of our favorite guests.
Great as always.
Thank you.
Love you guys, too. Let's win, man.
Okay, let's win.
Let's do it. Let's
it's
go
funny.
Mets.
1977 was the summer when Reggie Jackson had 3 home runs in 1 World Series game to beat the Dodgers. It was a wonderful time for Yankee fans and us Met fans that same summer. Our memory?
Yeah.
Traded Tom Seaver.
It ain't right. It just ain't. No justice, no peace is what I'm saying on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Slow down, you crazy. crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. But you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you?
All right, everybody's got their favorite Billy Joel song. This is my favorite off of The Stranger, Vienna. Not one of his more popular songs, but love it.
This is your all-time favorite?
Yeah.
Billy Joel.
Yes. This is mine.
Wow.
And we're playing Billy Joel all day long. Billy will have his 100th concert later on tonight. You know, we got a break here momentarily and come back next hour, but we've got three guests on today. They're all magnificent, and they're big-name people. You got a congressman and Peter King, who does as much television as Jimmy Fallon. Then you get Judge Jeanine Pirro, who's got a very, very successful show on Fox News. The president calls her all the time.
They're all doing very well in life.
And Scaramucci.
Yeah.
And yet, you can't find a decent effing cell phone among the three of them.
What the hell is going on?
What is going on?
That's it. Only in studio from now on. Or landline.
No, you're not going to get anybody. I'm going to come into the studio every single time.
Who has a landline? I don't even have a landline.
Neither do I.
I have it, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't even have it.
Nobody uses their telephone line.
So then what did you just said? Only landline.
I know.
Well,
I was wrong.
But Mooch is
What do you have in your mouth?
Mooch may be in his office.
Hey,
he must have a phone in his office, no? I mean, you could use that.
He was walking. He's going to CNN right now.
He was just on CNN yesterday.
And he's going back.
He's going back.
Yeah. Was he going to replace John Berman now?
You never know.
No, he's a good go-to guy for them.
He is very good. Very good. It's funny, you're right, though. Like in Manhattan,
they like when he bashes the president.
Yeah.
Oh, when he gives him tough love.
Right, tough love. In Manhattan, for example, there are no phones in any of the apartments. None. Like, I know, like homes like yours, it may not work, but you've got a phone. You've got a house phone.
In other words, it's still there from way back. Like when somebody calls, I see it light up on the TV.
Yeah.
But I don't know where the hell it is. Somebody's calling me, but...
And you don't answer it, right?
No
I never
way.
Answer my home line. Because it's always a telemarketer.
Right. Or a bill collector.
Or whatever. Or something.
It's never good news. Never.
No.
If they want to get you, they leave a message on your cell phone. We'll take a short break. Hour number three right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built two temples and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Congratulations to Long Island's own Billy Joel. Show number 100 downstairs later on tonight at Madison Square Garden. Show number 54 during the residency. Chaz Palminteri will join us in about an hour. He's taking part in a big tribute along with Governor Andrew Cuomo and the owner of the Knicks, Rangers, and Liberty, Jimmy Dolan, later on this afternoon. You know, this song reminds me of something. So on Saturday, Bernie, Danielle and I took a trek to Long Island. And we ended up doing it the right way. There's never any reason ever to drive to Long Island if you live, especially in the city,
But in any of the boroughs...
No, it's horrendous.
Horrendous. We live on the Upper West Side. It took us about 25 minutes to get to Penn Station on 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
We hopped on the Long Island Railroad, and we were in Gibson, which is right before the Five Towns, in about 25 minutes.
What line did you take?
We had to switch at Jamaica for the...
Port Washington.
It's not the Long Beach line.
The Long Beach line. It was we had a
Rockaway.
Rockaway. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The Rockaway line. So it's funny because in that song he talks about Catholic girls start much too late. So these two girls are sitting right across from me and Danielle, and another one is very attractive. One is blonde, okay, but horrible skin, and one's kind of fat. I'm not even kidding you.
Look, you're not being pejorative. You're being descriptive.
Thank you, Bernard. So I don't know how, but we get into a conversation. And it turns out the blonde girl was in from Minneapolis. So anytime somebody's from Minnesota, especially St. Paul and or Minneapolis.
Oh, Minnesota.
What happens, Bernie, in your short history with me, what do I always bring up?
My cousin used to be the senator. My cousin, Norm Coleman.
Norm. Bang. So I bring up, oh, my God, that's your cousin? So this young dopey chick knew who he was, which I was very impressed.
She's not that dopey. If she knew a guy who hasn't been senator for almost 10 years now.
True.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good. So then we get into a conversation. What are you doing here? Well, as it turns out.
How the hell does that happen?
I don't know.
I don't talk to anybody.
So she's in town. You're not going to believe this, okay? She works at Rick's Cafe in Minneapolis. I never even knew there was a Rick's Cafe. Yes,
wow.
The same strip joint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That our good friend Lonnie Hanover, Ronnie the limo driver from Howard Stern National, show. They own two. They've got Vivid and Rick's Cafe. So she actually came into New York.
What is she like?
Paul.
She's a barback, or
you know, it's funny you say that. I said Danielle, she's not pretty enough to be a dancer. I don't know what she does, but she works at the club. So she came to New York because she's going on a tour. So then the discussion goes to this. Her fat friend, the next one goes.
Her fat friend.
Yeah. Here's my friend, works at Rick's Cafe in Minneapolis, here in New York City, to star at this strip club for the weekend. And you know how we met? How'd you meet? Catholic school.
Ah.
So I always think about Billy Joel, Catholic girls start much too late, because I had a lot of friends I grew up with that their sisters, when I was going to Poly, their sisters went to, like, Bishop Corn. All these girls' schools in Brooklyn, they stood outside with their plaid skirts, they smoked their cigarettes, and they were given oral before anybody else.
Now, slow down just a second.
What?
Slow down just a second, Mr. Rosenberg.
All righty.
When you start talking about the Catholic girls, my sisters went to Catholic school. My daughter went to Catholic school.
Huh? I'm sorry
to break
the news.
Take it easy with the stereotypes.
Sorry to break the news.
Started too late.
Just slow down.
And me? Billy Joel broke the stereotype, my friend. It wasn't me. He sang about that 40 years ago.
Just slow the hell down.
Now, what did he mean?
Before you start casting aspersions on a whole group of girls.
Did they really start later than Jewish girls?
No, they start way before.
It's a song.
Here comes a text from Mike Breen. Let's go, Mike. Let's have it.
Yeah, Mike, that's his daughter. His kids went to Catholic school as well.
Mike gets very upset. There's no bigger fan of this show than Mr. Basketball himself, Mike Breen.
Mikey loves the Bernie and Sid show.
That doesn't change the fact that plaid skirts and cigarettes lead to big trouble.
Look, plaid skirts, by the way, that's a bad choice to put on young girls. It's a bad choice for the pedophiles out there. It drives them nuts.
Oh, just for the pedophiles?
Well, listen. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. How could you not ask this girl, what do you do for Rick's Cafe if you're in a conversation? Are you a dancer? Are you a performer?
Yeah, that would be great with Danielle. Yeah. I was trying to just... I was just listening.
It's the tough guy.
Well...
I can't ask. My wife is sitting next to me.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't all that...
It's just ask.
But I wasn't...
So what do you do at Rick's?
Who do you
it's
do
easy.
At Rick's?
I wasn't that interested. I can't lie to you. I was just, the story for me was that here's this girl who works at a strip club in Minnesota, visiting a strip club in New York and went to Catholic school.
Minnesota.
Very good.
Minnesota.
You said it right.
The ice hockey state of America.
She doesn't talk like that, though. She actually almost talked like a New Yorker, so.
It's kind of frigid out there.
Oh, it's cold.
Anyway, she wasn't very pretty. I got to think she was, what'd you call it, a what? A barback. What do they do?
They refill the ice, stock the
but not a bartender.
Coolers. No, no, they just...
Right, a bartender is one thing, a barback is another. Barback goes up and down with the... They bring out the supplies.
Okay,
they
down, gotta, but not
they
down.
Refresh.
Do they have hot... I'm asking this out of ignorance. Do they have hot barbacks at strip clubs?
Probably not.
Probably
not. You need guys.
Guys. Like,
because it's heavy stuff.
Right. Right.
But then again, girls can be strong. Right?
I was going to mention a certain group of men, but that would be... Well, I don't need any more trouble. This is fine.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Hey, let me just point this out. Billy Joel was born in the Bronx.
Yes, he was.
Well. He grew up in
one of yours.
Hicksville.
You know, Billy Joel is 69 years old.
I know.
69.
That's old.
69, Jill.
That's right.
And today is National Hot Dog Day.
Oh, yeah.
If she didn't tell us once, she told us 12 times.
Oh, no, she's in here.
It's National Hot Dog Day. It's National Hot Dog Day.
Well, I know.
Joe Solomino tweeted us that, so I was giving him props.
He knows all this thing. He's great with all this stuff.
So will you be eating any wieners today, Jill?
She doesn't like that. She doesn't do that. It's like only special occasions for
her. I will be eating a vegetarian wiener today.
Vegetarian wiener?
Yes. With no bun.
Will you, Sydney, eat a dirty water hot dog? I'm talking about a serious New York City dirty water hot dog. Will you? Because they're delicious.
I'm glad you said that. You remember last week when I was off that Wednesday and you actually called me? We had a great conversation.
Yes, I do.
I was walking in the park
with
my son.
Yes.
Very good, with Gabriel. When Gabe and I got to the park, he was hungry. And I said, Gabe, we just got to the park. We're not going to go eat. And 10 feet in front of us, 10 feet, Bernard, was a dirty hot dog water stand. And Gabe and I, mustard, sauerkraut, sat down on the park bench in Central Park, like a Met game or a Yankee game, and we loved
it. Nothing better.
That's and the only way to eat a hot dog.
And the guy had dirty fingers, I'm sure, and that water was about as clean as the toilet Sean Hannity's bathroom after crash here on this floor. And it didn't matter. We loved it.
It is great. It is fantastic.
What's more New York, a dirty water hot dog or Billy Joel?
Both.
Both?
Why can't we have both?
Can't have both. Got to pick one.
What about people who eat hot dogs with ketchup? I understood
that. Oh, that's so guyish.
That's kids. Kids.
I don't like
kids do that.
And eggs with ketchup.
Oh.
Hot sauce is fine.
Right.
Ketchup on eggs is not...
My son eats ketchup on eggs. It's disgusting.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know.
You're so not Jewish.
He's got the Catholic part.
No.
You put the... I don't put anything on eggs.
You don't, not even hot sauce?
I do hot sauce. A little pepper.
Hot sauce is good.
You never get a little ketchup on your hot dog?
No.
Little mayo?
You know, it's funny. I kind of threw in a throwaway line. The Bishop Carney line was a throwaway line when I talked about the Catholic girls in Brooklyn and the plaid skirts. I've gotten a bunch of texts already from guys who live in Brooklyn who actually live by that school. And they're like, Sid, you're 1,000% right. It was a throwaway line.
Let's go to Rich from the car. Rich, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning, Rich.
Thanks, guys. Listen, I mean, first of all, I don't like Billy Joel. So
I don't like
the people who want to listen. Sorry.
That's okay.
I've been listening to him for so long, it just drove me insane. But, yeah, I mean, I'm Catholic. I raised three Catholic daughters. I got Catholic sisters, nieces. Why wasn't more people offended by this song when it came out? I mean, I went to college. I did go to a Catholic college, Holy Cross, and we'd have girls from Long Island in the keg rooms up there singing, you got a nice, you know, geez, you know?
You know why?
You know, it's funny, Rich, what's funny, speaking of Rich in the car, is that we would play Billy Joel driving up state and sing along to the song. My kid's in the car. You Catholic girls start much too late.
But you know what it's like? It's like people who sing along to Born in the USA with Bruce Springsteen. They don't realize that's an anti-American song.
When you sing this, though, you realize what's happening.
Yeah, but here's
the thing. What he's talking about.
But here's the thing. You know why people didn't get offended? Because that's when America was great.
We're not snowflakes.
Right. And unfortunately, if you're offended today, that's part of the reason why, Rich, this country blows compared to where it was 30 years ago. Because we can sing songs and we can watch Archie Bunker and we can do all that stuff without setting your hair on fire in the streets.
Now, Rich brings up a good point.
What?
Billy Joel is Jewish, right?
No, he's not. He's Italian.
No, he's Jewish.
He's Italian.
No, he's not.
So
he's Italian.
All right, so let me ask.
He's very Italian.
Let's hypothetically.
Jewish. Well, he's got a big nose.
I'm looking it up right now.
He's Look Italian. Go ahead.
I think he's Jewish.
He's not. He's Italian.
But if...
Yeah.
If John Bon Jovi said, all these Jewish girls start much too late. He's a Catholic, an Italian Catholic.
If he sang it in the 70s, nobody would care. When he wrote that song, when he wrote Only the Good Die Young, nobody would care. If Billy Joel wrote that song today, he may come under some fire. That's part of the problem. But when he wrote that song, nobody cared. And it was better.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I made a good point, though.
Wikipedia. Yes, Billy Joel is Jewish.
Told you.
Yeah. Listen. Often in error, but never in doubt.
I told you. Did I show any? Did I waver even a little?
Shut up.
Had more Billy Joel coming. Fine.
Oi! You know that only the good die young. Oh, baby. I tell you, only the good die young.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
All right, Jules, before you get to your excellent entertainment report, I've got a question for you on entertainment.
Okay.
And if you don't get it, Bernard certainly can jump in. Forbes Celebrity 100.
Mm-hmm.
This year, this actor became the highest paid actor in the history. This is unreal.
Clooney?
In the history of this list. Making $124 million last year. Clooney is incorrect. Bernard?
Michael B. Jordan.
It's not a bad guess. Both good guesses. Both incorrect.
Who is it?
I'll give you a hint.
Come on.
He's an international star. He just got back from
Antonio
China.
Antonio Banderas?
No. The man who broke the record the most...
Jackie Chan.
No. It would be... You ready for this? The Rock.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
$124 million. Dollars.
Should have guessed that.
I mean, he's got everything. He's got not only film, but he's got television, too.
He's a
baller, and he's so likable.
A mediocre linebacker for the Miami Hurricanes, kind of a clownish wrestler.
But what a personality he has.
And what a body.
Yeah, well, that too. Meantime, the dad of the Duchess is speaking out again to the press again, trashing the royals again, and even coming in hot at Prince Harry. Listen.
If I had a message for Harry, it's get over it. I'm your new father-in-law.
He doesn't sound well, does he?
Who's that?
That's Thomas Markle, Meghan Markle's dad.
Yeah,
almost like sounds like he had a stroke or something. He says he's not going away, and despite his tabloid talking, he is hopeful to hear from the Duchess and the Duke today because it is his 74th birthday. Meantime, that pest, otherwise known as Meghan Markle's half-sister Samantha, they share a dad, Thomas. She went on her own tirade yesterday, this time on Twitter, saying if Thomas Markle, who recently suffered a heart attack, dies, Meghan is to blame. She goes on to say, my father's not an embarrassment. The royals are an embarrassment for being so cold. You should be ashamed of yourselves. And finally, The Real Housewives of New York had its reunion taping yesterday. And when asked about the fact that cast member Luann de Lesseps would not be joining due to the fact that what? She is what?
Back in rehab.
Yes. Original star Ramona Singer said this.
You know what? We all feel bad for Luann, and, it'll be okay.
Supportive, encouraging Real Housewives.
Not a douchebag.
There's a pig
Ramona.
Fly.
God.
Anyway, I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Thank you, Jules. Oh, wow, I like it. From the 52nd Street album, right?
1978.
Yeah. Zanzibar. Philly Joel Day. 100 shows. Big one coming up tonight right downstairs with Dr. Chaz Palminteri. He's part of the whole tribute coming up this afternoon in 30 minutes. We'll do some local politics, too. This Ocasio-Cortez continues to spout off. We did a lot of Trump-Putin the first 2 hours. Before we do all of that, today's New York Post, a good friend of ours, Bernie, we both love this guy, Steve Serby.
Yeah, he cool.
This is a slow time of year. All-star game last night. Great game, by the way. Set a record, 10 home runs. Also set a record, 25 strikeouts.
It was terrific, really. It was exciting.
Did you watch any of it?
Not a minute.
Good. I didn't much either. But the American League did win for the sixth consecutive year. And it's a very slow time in sports. In fact, today is the only day, I think, all year there's really nothing going on. Until baseball comes back tomorrow with Cubs and Cardinals. Friday you get the Mets and the Yanks. But Serby does this column today. It's called Broadway Headliners. Who shines the brightest among New York sports stars? And Serby, along with my good friend Joe Favorito and Steve Rosner, go on to pick the 15 biggest sports stars active. No Derek Jeter, no Mark Messier, no Joe Namath, no Patrick Ewing. Active sports stars in New York.
No Keyshawn Johnson?
No Keyshawn Johnson, no. And he's got people on this list, Bernie, everybody from Tina Charles, who plays for the Liberty, the rookie quarterback for the Jets, Sam Darnold, to David Villa, who plays for like some soccer team. I mean, come on. But the top five, you want to try to guess them?
Sure.
I'll give you one hint for each.
Go ahead.
All right. At number five on this list, this guy's never won a Stanley Cup, but a lot of people still consider him one of the greatest goaltenders in the history of the game. And there's a chance that you and I could bump into him one of these days in an elevator in this building.
Okay, it's got to be New York Ranger. New York Ranger goalie.
Shares the nickname of the King with LeBron James.
That would be my boy Henrik.
Bang!
Henrik Lundqvist.
Does Mike Breen know we're using his bang? He's probably very excited about that, no? You are correct. Henrik Lundqvist,
thank
everybody.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Number four on this cockamamie list by Steve Serby. God, they got to fill the paper up with something. This guy has shown some real promise. May go on to be one of the New York greats, but has suffered injury after injury, derailing some of the greatness. But he is the future, and he, too, we may bump into in this book.
Are you giving it, away? That he's got to be a Ranger or a Nick? I was going to say Joannis, but it's not Joannis. He's injury prone.
All the time injured.
New York Knicks.
Budding superstar, but injured all the time.
Kristaps.
Ah!
Come on.
Mike Breen with the bang. Thank you. Number three on this list makes some of the most acrobatic catches, not just today, but in the history of a local football team.
Football.
But also has had a very rocky couple of years. Women, drugs, silly celebrations in the end zone.
I know who it is.
Yacht parties.
Jeremy Shockey.
You know, by the way, that would be right if it was 10 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be OBJ.
Oh!
This is too easy.
You're 3 for 3. Number two.
I get the Billy Joel tickets if I complete the all five?
Well, actually, Jim Leinart did send me two tickets, which I showed to you. They're in my email. I got to talk to Leslie Slender about that. Number two, local star, who actually, last night they set the record, Bernard, 10 home runs in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But this local star hit the first one last night.
Local star hit a home run at the All-Star game last night.
All rise.
And he's one of the top all rise. Come on. Yeah, you make it too easy. Gleyber Torres.
Yes!
Here come the judge.
And I'm surprised he's got this guy number one. I think it's more about the position. Anytime you occupy this position,
that's what she said.
That's very good. Kind of like set up for the Yankees. But this guy has brought two championships. I want to say New York, but it's more like Menachie, New Jersey. And comes from a long line of great players at that position.
He's got some lineage.
He's got some lineage. And he's got two really, really nice rings. It's kind of a it's a weird player in that he's had great success, but you blow on the guy, he loses, you know.
He's a little confused looking.
Dopey.
A little dopey. Didn't have a great year last year.
No, not at all.
In fact, people are talking about getting rid of him maybe, but he's the number one shining star in New York City sports, according to Steve Serby.
And I'm talking about?
Eli Manning.
Oh! Yes.
I'm going to see Billy Joel.
He's got Jacob DeGrom, number 6, Giancarlo Stanton, 7, Luis Severino, who, by the way, caught the Aaron Judge home run in the bullpen last night.
That's funny.
He's number 8. He's got Saquon Barkley, 9, and Gleyber Torres, 10. You like that list? 5 through 1. Lundqvist, Porzingis, Beckham, Judge, and Eli. I'd put Judge ahead of Eli. How
I think
you?
I would. I don't think Eli's in the top 5.
No, he's top 5. No, listen, by virtue of the fact you're the quarterback for the Giants in this town, you're in the top 5.
Yeah, okay.
There's no
all
argument.
Right,
but after the year he's had, he doesn't deserve the number one spot as the brightest star in the city.
You give it to Judge?
In the tri-state. I would give it to somebody but Manning, probably Judge at this point.
Would you put DeGrom ahead of Manning?
Yeah, oh, yes.
You would?
Yes.
Really?
The best pitcher in the National League?
I hear you.
Come on, just because he doesn't have players around him, he's still getting it done.
Right.
No, Steve Cerby. That's a bad job out of you, Stevie. Bad job out of Cerby.
All right. Well, you know, he loves this show.
What am I talking about? No, I think it was a good job.
Mikey, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know. Shut up, buddy.
Another real good joke.
Yeah. Give me a Diet Coke. Throw it at you.
Thank
son
you.
Of a bitch.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Steve Cerby. We'll come right back and talk about
all
some
right.
local politics. Good job,
I
you.
Literally love Justin Verlander.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
My favorite Billy Joel song on the Bernie and Sid Show. Come on, Bill.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. The regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me. Making love to his tonic and gin.
They're going to honor Billy Joel today at the Garden. You got a whole slew of people. The genius Governor Andrew Cuomo will be there.
And another genius, Jim Dolan.
Jim Dolan. And a guy who we really, truly like is Chaz Palminteri, who's going to be on the program with us next hour. He'll be there as well.
About 15 minutes, Chaz will join us. One quick story, and we'll get to Cortez Ocasio.
Robin?
Cortez Ocasio, excuse me. Billy Joel, one of my favorite memories ever. I got to tell you this. So I'm coming to Madison Square Garden to see Billy Joel many years ago. It was the same night, Bernard, as Game 6 of the NLCS between the Mets and the Astros. Now, for fans that don't know, if the Mets lose Game 6 to Houston, they never get to the World Series and play the Red Sox because the Astros had a guy named Mike Scott, who was unhittable. Came up as a Met, by the way. Was the best pitcher in baseball that year by a mile, and he was going to pitch Game 7 for Houston. Even the Mets admit they wouldn't have beaten him. So they had to win Game 6 to get to the World Series. This turns out to be a 16-inning affair. Goes on forever. So Billy Joel is supposed to come on stage at about 8 o'clock. He ain't coming on stage. And he ain't coming on stage until after the Met game is over.
Right?
So a bunch of us went out of the Garden, true story, Little Bucket, and were standing outside on the street from Charlie O's on the outside watching the Mets game. The Astros take the lead. Darryl Strawberry ends up hitting a home run to win the game for the Mets in the 16th inning. And again, if Straw doesn't hit the home run there and the Mets lose to Houston, you never get Mookie Wilson, Bill Buckner, you never get it because they weren't going to beat Mike Scott. So the city is wild. The Mets are going back to the World Series. People are screaming. Cars are honking. A couple of us do a couple more bumps, a couple of drinks. Go back into Madison Square Garden waiting for Billy. And about 20 minutes later, all you hear is New York State of Mind. And Billy Joel comes out in a Met jersey and a Met hat. I'm telling you, man.
Hey, he probably, after a couple of bumps, his damn self. No doubt about it.
But could you imagine? We just made it to the World Series.
It's a good story.
And he comes out with New York State of Mind on that night.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite concerts. It didn't even matter. It was great.
Oh, so great.
So
yeah.
great.
That's
here it is. Darryl Strawberry. God, I loved him. This song makes me think of Darryl, not the Statue of Liberty, not the Freedom Tower, not the Empire State Building.
You're thinking of Darryl Strawberry.
Darryl Strawberry, yeah.
And speaking of bumps. Everybody's doing bumps in this vaunted year. What year was this?
1986.
Right.
Everybody was doing bumps.
Yeah. The performers. The players.
Oh, come on. Wall Street.
The customers.
Was Imus still doing blow back then? Yes. I think he stopped in like in the 90s. I think he's got seven.
Suck it. 87 no. would have been the year. No, he stopped the blow earlier. 87 was when he stopped
around
drinking.
Around that time, though.
Drinking.
Around 30-something years ago, he's sober. I think, believe it or not, I think yesterday, the day before, he had his 31-year sober day.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Something like that. Unless he's back doing it.
He must be drinking, sure. What else does he do now?
Hop a flight to I heard he's running a triathlon Labor Day weekend. He's training for it.
So this is
that'd be funny seeing him running with the other runners carrying an oxygen tank.
Oh, God.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
Talking about New York state of mind, this young lady who beat Joe Crowley in parts of Queens and the Bronx, who made some disparaging remarks about Israel and pissed off some Jews like myself. So are you, and I wasn't aware yesterday. Are you telling me she's still at it? She's still at it? She didn't learn a lesson yet?
She's at it, but listen, she's actually a godsend for, you know, if you care about this country.
For Trump. Oh, that's what you're saying.
No, not for Trump, for the country.
Okay.
If you care about the good legislation being passed and the country in general, you want this woman out there because she's not that bright. She doesn't know how to mask or hide her hatred for this country or her hatred for Israel or whatever. There's an art to that. People fine-tune that art, and they get elected. Now, this woman can do it because she's in a very radical leftist, congressional district, the Bronx and Queens. But on a national stage, she's going to hurt everybody, is what she's doing. People like her and that other idiot, Cynthia Nixon, they're pulling everyone to the left. They're saying stupid things. Like she said yesterday, she talked about the Israeli occupation and the massacre. This is New York City, lady. This is not really good for her or for the party. I mean, you're supposed to couch this in certain ways, but she doesn't care. Apparently, she doesn't know the art of it. She's just a 28-year-old who was a bartender a little while ago. I think she's cute. I know you think she has buck teeth and a bad nose, you said yesterday.
I'm not a fan.
Ocasio-Cortez, she made those remarks, but now she's talking about, first of all, she's a boycott Israel person. She's abolish ICE, abolish capitalism, impeach Trump, open borders, all that stuff. But regarding the borders, she goes back to the kid thing. She wants people, and abolish ICE, she wants people to occupy airports and highways. Now, that'll really go over well with the American public. This is what she said yesterday.
I believe the moral character of the United States is at stake. So for me, it wasn't a question of whether I should go down there. If we have to have a rapid response. And I think every day that we go on, especially a day when something that heinous happens, we have to occupy all of it. We need to occupy every airport. We need to occupy every border. We need to occupy every ICE office until those kids are back with their parents, period.
So she's all for that. She just said that yesterday. And, of course, they're trying to do their best. DNA test. They don't want to reunite kids with pedophiles or people with bad criminal records or some cartel member or some human trafficker. So there's dummies out there talking about occupying air. You try occupy an airport on Labor Day weekend or something like, or any weekend, and you'll see how that goes over with the American people, even people who may be sympathetic to your stupid points of view.
Right.
Just try it, lady. And by the way, she claimed after she talked about the boycotting Israel and all that stuff, Israel's occupier, it's an apartheid state. She says, well, I really don't know much about geopolitics. You know, she went to BU.
Yeah.
And she actually majored in economics and international relations. And she couldn't articulate properly her hatred for Israel.
Moron.
Because she's so stupid.
She's very stupid.
But she's cute. I mean, you don't think so.
She's cute. No, she's cuter than Joe Crowley.
And she is cute. That's for sure.
I'll give you that.
And yes. she's like I say, it's better to have a person like her.
Yeah.
Because Joe Crowley knows how to mask those hateful feelings towards this country and Israel and saying stupid things like occupy airports.
Right.
This is what's going to cost them in November.
You're right. No, it's a good point you make. Very good point. I stand corrected. Jeff K. 64 on Twitter. Darnold did not homer in that game. Had a big walk in the 3-run ninth inning to tie the game. He did not homer. I was wrong. In that game, he did homer in that series.
Well, you were doing blow that night. Come on.
And drunk, by the way.
Yes.
But the Mets
and
did.
And so was he. But the Mets, why he didn't hit a homer.
They scored 3 in the ninth to tie it at 3, and they did win it, like I said, in the 16th, and they would have faced Mike Scott in game 7, but it was not on a strawberry home run. Thank you, Jeff K. 64.
Do you know that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was not even born that year? And here she is. She's going to be a big player.
When was she born? Oh, yeah, you're right.
90. If she's 28, yeah, 90.
How do you like that?
Oh, my God.
And you were doing blow and
isn't that crazy?
Watching Billy Joel concert.
Met game and
this lady's going to Congress.
She wasn't even born.
How do you like that?
I don't like that.
Wasn't even conceived.
How do I like that? I don't like that.
You're old, man.
But you know what's somewhat comforting about that? You're older than me.
No, that is true. That's very true. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we'll come right back.
We've all got places to go! We've all got places to go!
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Saturday Captain night, Jack's going to get you high tonight. Billy Joel downstairs, show number 100. Big day today. Big tribute coming up. Jim Dolan, Andrew Cuomo, Chaz Palminteri. Let me tell you quickly before we bring Chaz on, the type of guy he is. My cousin comes to town last weekend. My cousin Kyra. She lives in Atlanta. Doesn't have a lot of money, but wanted to go to a New York steakhouse. She was in for the weekend. So I called Chaz, Joe, because of his friend there, his partner Jack. Empire Steakhouse, right. I said, Chaz, my cousin's in town. Not much money. Wants to go to a nice New York steakhouse. I want to send her to Jack's place. He said, Sid, our steaks at Chaz Palminteri's restaurant are the same as Jack's.
Oh, nice.
She wants a good steak, a good Italian meal. Let her come to me.
Chaz's restaurant is so delicious. I've eaten there a few times.
Me too. Fantastic. So not only do I invite my cousin to go to Chaz's restaurant, not only does Chaz bring out desserts and just treats her as if she was Meghan Markle, at the end of the night the bill comes, there was no bill.
Oh! Wow.
My cousin called me in tears. I swear to you. She enjoyed New York. By the way, he's also one of her favorite actors. This is the type of guy Chaz Palminteri is. He's also Mr. New York, and he will be around the whole Billy Joel celebration today. With that said, here's our dear friend Chaz. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it doing? What's up, Chaz? Hello, Sid. How are you?
Hello. Good. Thank you. Thank you again for what you did for Kyra. That was really lovely this weekend. You don't realize what you did for that. You know, her father was Chuck Leonard, who was a DJ here at WABC in the 70s. That was my cousin Kyra's father. But wow. She's since moved to Georgia, and you made her a whole New York weekend, so thank you.
Well, it was my pleasure. Come on.
Chaz Palminteri, of course, the brains behind A Bronx Tale, the movie, the play, which is currently on Broadway right now, A Bronx Tale.
Almost over, by the way, August 5th, the last show coming up in 2 weeks.
Hey, Bernie, August 5th is the last day.
You got to get over there quickly, folks. It's a great watch. And also today now, Chaz, this Billy Joel celebration this afternoon, which I know you got to get ready to go to.
Yeah.
So what's are you a longtime Billy Joel fan yourself, obviously?
Huge. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Huge Billy Joel fan. I'm friends with Billy a long time, and he's just, I always tell him, I said, Billy, you are going to be the Irving Berlin of this generation.
Wow. Cool. That's true.
I told him that. I said, people will be singing your songs 100 years from now.
And, you know, it's not really rock and roll per se. It's an old school of ballads and, songs type of thing.
No, he just writes songs that are like, that are movies, that are stories.
Yeah.
He's a poet. He's an incredible writer. He's like a great lyricist and a great musician together, which is very rare that you get that together. He's really, truly one of a kind. I said, Billy, I'm telling you, for 100 years, they're going to be singing your songs. And I'm so excited for him today to get his piano right in the middle of Madison Square Garden. Do you realize people can't even sell out Madison Square Garden once? He's done it 100 times.
Wow, 100 times. You're so New York, Chaz. Born in the Bronx, Belmont. The play, the movie. And we were talking this morning, Bernie and I. Bruce Springsteen, New Jersey. Bon Jovi, New Jersey.
Yeah.
We really can't think of any artist, a musician especially, a singer, that is more New York. And you know what's great? He never left. Like a lot of guys make it, they move to L.A. He never left, Chaz. He's still here.
That's right. And you know what? People love him. All the fishermen, they drop clams and great fish on his deck. I'm telling you, they just go by and they like donate. They give it to him. They go, Billy, please take this because he's done so much for the waters in Long Island.
Yes, he has, which were in bad shape for a while. But, he's helped clean it up a lot, brought a lot of attention to it. And just the kind of guy he is. I mean, he's a great interview to watch whenever you get the opportunity to see him interviewed. And here's what a quote he gave. He's talking about performing at Madison Square Garden. After a show at MSG, you've had 20,000 people screaming your name as if you're Mussolini. And then you jump in a car and you're stuck in traffic. You're just another schmuck on the highway. And it's a great reminder you're only human. That's Billy Joel.
That's Billy Joel. And that is Billy. Let me tell you something. A real special guy. Not only a great artist. I'm glad you brought that up, Bernie. He's a special guy. He really is.
And we know you got to run here. Of course, Chaz will take part again, along with Jim Dolan and Andrew Cuomo. And, you know, on the way out, Chaz, you're a mega superstar. You're a real deal. You're a famous Hollywood actor.
Well, thank you.
But
thank you.
The way you talk about Mickey Mantle when he was alive, the Yankee fan you are, and even today with Billy, I get the feeling, Chaz, that even though you're on that superstar level, the same level, that you're like a kid today. Like, this is one of your music heroes.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Listen, I'm getting up early. I have to do an afternoon show today. I have to do a matinee. I never, ever get up this early. Ever.
That's brutal.
I mean, but when they called me, when Jim Dolan called, they said, Billy would like to have you there.
Wow.
I said, I'll be there. You know, I'm there.
Wow.
That's the kind of guy you are. You're a good guy. You're a good friend. Hey, listen, Chaz, you have a cup of coffee. Take your shower.
All right, guys.
I know you got to get over there to the garden where we are right now. So, listen, thanks for appearing, and good luck today.
Thank you.
Chaz Palminteri on the Bernie and Sid Show. Speaking of regular guys, this is another great guy. Really nice man, this Chaz.
He really is. And that's got to be cool to be part of this today. And, you know, and it's funny, I'm talking to, all I can think about is, how come not us? I don't know.
I know, and here we are.
Like, who's more New York than us?
We're right upstairs.
We have to go down 17th flight in an elevator.
Can't we get in on this?
But this is your fault.
You know,
because you talk bad about Jim Dolan.
Have you seen?
That's not true, by the way.
Billy Joel? No, I don't. No. I don't really know the guy.
Right.
I mean, I know a lot of people don't like him for many, many reasons.
Because of the Knicks. But go ahead.
I don't know anything about it. Look, have you seen? Have you been to a show? A Billy Joel show? Is any of these 100 shows? This is particular residency that he's doing right now?
Are you on drugs? No, not this particular residency, which is show number 54 tonight.
Right, that's what I'm asking. I know you were there in 86.
Right.
The whole Daryl Strawberry thing.
Not this 54th.
Oh, you have to go.
But this is a special residency.
Have you gone to this? Have you gone to this?
My wife's gone. I have not. And here we are, 17 stories above Madison Square Garden. I want to go to it.
I've got two.
This is historic.
I've got two. Oh, tonight is. But I've got two tickets in my email box from Jim Leinert right now for August 23rd that was supposed to give to Leslie Slender and give away.
No.
I can say it got deleted by accident in my email box. And
you would do that for me?
I would. Well, it'd be for me too, to be honest. But yes,
oh, me and you, we would go together.
You and I.
You have to do
Now, that. I would have to say, of course. Is this on?
No, I don't think we could do that.
We can do that.
We didn't give it to us just so that we can, you know. He wants us to give it away.
We'll give it away. Congratulations to Irving and Beatrice Schwartz on Knapp Street in Sheepshead Bay. They're going to see Billy Joel.
Yes, fantastic. Courtesy of Jim and.
Why not? Oh, beautiful. See, now we'd start to give it away.
Okay. All right. We're going to go.
Get the card, pick us up at 6. August 23rd.
We'll go eat at Chaz's restaurant before.
You're right. We'll leave at 4:30. I like this. Don't wear a shirt. Don't wear a Billy Joel shirt. You look like a dweeb. Please.
Oh, wait a second. You were wearing a Saquon Barkley jersey the other day.
No, you got me again.
What are you kidding me?
Does she have a fat ass? Absolutely.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, I'm Juliet. If you're just tuning in, how dare you? But if you are, the boys had Fox anchor Jeanine Pirro on a little while ago. She's out with a new book, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. And apparently she had quite the coming out party for the unveiling. Seen at Sanctuary Hotel across from Fox News, inside their steakhouse, which is called Tender. In addition, of course, to the judge, Geraldo Rivera, Bernard, Jerry Rivers,
hey, Jerry.
Exactly, Bernard Carrick, and Trump's second eldest son, Eric. Spies say he came in for about 15 minutes, surveyed the scene,
I have a good story about Jeanine. I'll tell it after you get done with your entertainment report.
Also on hand was, I love Jeanine. She had poodles, but they're like the gigantic, you know, they look like they could eat a human poodle, but they're very beautiful. Yeah. And her poodle's name is Sir Lancelot. And so he was there. He apparently showed up in a chauffeured limo with a handler.
She is... She's living large.
Listen, I went down with Janine, the former producer, executive producer of my old show, and a former makeup artist several years ago. God, it was probably 10 years ago, to Mar-a-Lago with Janine. We stayed at her house and everything. She is a trip. She's also a very fast driver.
Speaking of Dorothy, I'll tell the story very quickly right here. She used to, when I did partnered with Greg Gutfeld on O'Reilly's show, there was a time when he was on sabbatical for whatever reason. Maybe he had a falling out with her. I don't know. Anyway, bunch of replacement people. She was one for a few weeks. During the break, we were doing two segments at this point. During the break between segments, we were talking about cars. She has very, very expensive Rolls Royces, Maseratis, whatever, this, that, the other.
She lives large.
Yeah.
She lives the life.
I mentioned that I have a 10-year-old Dodge Durango. So she says... She said, I would never get in a car with you. So I said to her, a couple of glasses of wine, honey, you'd get in the car with me if it was a Hyundai. And she said, F you, you mother effer, you son of a bitch. I would never. How dare you say that? She went off on me.
She wasn't serious, though. Was she?
No.
Oh, God,
I don't think
say
so.
No, no.
But what a mouth on that.
Oh, she's got. Yeah. I mean, I thought I had one. She's got. Yeah. She might beat me in the mouth department. But she's a trip. I mean, she really is funny, regardless of whether or not you agree with her politically. She is a funny, funny lady. And she's a cool, ballsy chick, too, which I love. Yeah. I love that.
I won't say anything bad about Justice Janine.
Oh, no. She'll come over here and beat the crap out of you. And also, Sydney, I have a quiz for you since you gave me one last hour. Who is the richest person in modern history?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, nice.
Saw the paper today. The Amazon.com founder's net worth is how much?
I'm going to go with upwards of almost $3
billion. Oh, $150 billion.
Oh, come on.
Dollars.
Buffett is a pauper compared to that.
Well, yeah, and so is Bill Gates, Microsoft founder Bill Gates. He's $55 billion less rich than Jeff Bezos.
Jeez.
God,
I tell you what. I shop for clothes, everything on Amazon.
Us too. I got a box every single day. Every day, Danielle.
Well, this is according to Bloomberg's Billionaire Index, so we can all go cry into our cheap champagne.
Yeah.
I'm Juliet.
Thank you.
Entertainment. You're welcome.
This goes out to Promo Girl herself. She's actually much more than that. He does one of the most important people at this radio station. But Promo Girl sounds cute. Leslie Slender, this is her favorite song, and she's got a couple of great events. She'll be on this show, actually, I think, next week to tell all of our listeners about what we've got planned. By the way, Jim Leinert, who gave us those Billy Joel tickets, and you can find him online. He's onlineticketsusa.com, onlineticketsusa.com. So appreciative we mentioned his name on this show, which, by the way, is doing us a favor, giving us a pair of Billy Joel tickets for the August 23rd show. But he just sent me a bunch of tickets for one of the best shows on Broadway for free that we can give away tomorrow
on
this
show. One of the best shows that was Hamilton.
I said one of the best shows. It's not Hamilton, but Frozen. Giving away free for tomorrow night. We'll do it tomorrow on this show. Again, compliments of Jim. Free tickets to see Frozen on Broadway tomorrow night.
My man Jimbo.
This guy's coming up huge.
Jim Cumming, brother.
Come on.
Hey, you know what's closing?
He's got sports too. So
on Broadway is SpongeBob.
That's closing at a Bronx Tale. Yeah. Both, I think, August 5th.
Yeah.
And both SpongeBob had real good success. I mean, that won like a bunch of Tonys.
How long was that on Broadway
for? That's a good question.
I feel like Bronx Tale was on much longer.
No. Both about 2 years. I don't know. Do I look like Michael Musto to you?
You thought Billy Joel was Catholic.
Michael Riedel? I did think he was, yeah. Shut up.
God.
Well, you know, this is what you do. You gotta bring, you gotta remind. Like you can't just let it go, right?
No.
All the stupid effing things you said in the show's history, all the mistakes, the goddamn mistakes you made.
No, do I bring it up? No. Hold on a second.
A little bit.
Yeah. You just correct her in a harsh way.
Yeah.
And so she brought up the fact that you were wrong earlier.
I mean,
That's a good comeback.
Billy Joel is Italian. Who thinks that?
I mean, come on, Sid.
He sang about a song in an Italian restaurant.
Billy
Joel. A bottle of red, a bottle of white, whatever. I mean, you're ahead tonight.
You're like the king of the Jews in New York, and you didn't even know that Billy Joel was Jewish.
I don't accept Billy Joel as a Jew.
He's one of us.
Yeah, he's one of us. When was the last time you saw Billy Joel wearing talis on Rosh Hashanah?
Speaking of us, when was the last time you were in a temple there?
Rosh Hashanah.
Miss
Jill.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. It's got to be
all right, so then dummy up there you, huh?
But still, I knew Billy Joel was Jewish.
You know what she does, Jill? It's all convenient. If she needs to be Jewish,
right?
She stands up for the Jews.
On Rosh Hashanah and Yom
Kippur. Otherwise, she's
good for a real Parmesan night, what a Passover.
She is like the ultimate white trash trailer park type of chick.
I'm in the mid
March. Go to Fire Island. They don't do that.
You go to Fire Island for one night.
Yeah.
White trash. Maybe
somebody's allowing you to stay in their home. I mean, it's not like you have a house in Fire Island.
Trash don't do that.
Maybe they didn't even allow her. She probably just broke in and stayed there for the weekend. Would you put that past Jill?
Probably going to camp out on the beach.
All right. Now, Jack wouldn't do it, but if Jill said, Olivia, here's the deal. You like that house? Yeah, they're away for the weekend. You need to break in the window.
And
open
it's
the front door.
Easy to do, too.
Right.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got screen. I mean, they're bungalows.
Hold on. What do you mean?
They're shanties.
Are you thinking about it?
Well, I mean.
In other words, you could stay there two nights if you want.
But what if people are there?
Well, no, you have to make sure they're gone.
Scout it out.
Okay. Right.
That's why you put Jack to work.
That's
right. Your kid's supposed to be doing well in school, right?
Yes, he is.
You check the mail. You go to each house. Yeah. You open the mail.
You reconnoiter. That's a military term.
That's right. Very good.
Reconnoiter.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Or you go with O.J. Simpson and just take over the house forever.
Just go in the house, kill everybody inside.
That's it.
And then, pop open a beer.
That's it. Throw on some Billy Joel and who's more Long Island than you? No,
then you head to the nude beach.
You're more Fire Island than Hamptons, right? You are.
I am Montauk and Ocean Beach,
Montauk
Fire Island.
Is so far.
Hamptons is not.
I don't like Hamptons.
No, nobody likes the Hamptons anymore.
Montauk is gorgeous, though.
But Billy Joel's in the Hamptons. He's in Southampton, right?
Yes, he's on Greenpoint.
He's a Hamptons guy.
Yeah,
that's the one strike against him.
Right.
It's a snooty thing.
Is that where he lives all the time?
Yeah, he actually takes a helicopter for these performances
from the Hamptons.
He takes a chopper. And then
get him the chopper,
Billy.
Now here's where I'm going to show how little I know about the Hamptons, because I used to go once in a while, but I would be not even halfway there on the LIE, and I'd already be wasted. I mean, drunk, cold, you name it.
Yeah,
so I don't remember where that was.
Too long a ride.
I went to Quag or something. I don't know.
Right, but that's the BQ section.
Right, exactly.
This side of the Shinnecock Canal. Billy Joel would never be caught dead.
Correct.
This side of the Shinnecock
Canal.
He's
with Howard Stern in Southampton. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But where is Sag Harbor compared to that?
Well, that's on the other side of the Shinnecock Canal as well.
How far is that from Southampton?
You got me. You see, I was this side of the. I was with the blue collar people on this side. Hampton Bays.
Quag.
West Hampton, Quag.
Right, like me.
Right,
right.
I never was on the other side. So, Amagansett, Southampton, East Hampton. What was the town you just asked about?
Sag Harbor.
Sag Harbor.
Right.
I don't know.
Those are all not.
They're all with the rich people and Billy Joel and those people.
Shinnecock, it says, is 13 minutes from Southampton.
How far is Sag Harbor? Sag Harbor, by the way, not Fire Island.
what it was? Shinnecock is 13 miles from Southampton. So you cross Shinnecock Canal, and then it's 13 miles to Southampton. But what about Sag Harbor?
Sag Harbor is 48 minutes.
Oh, it's that far.
That's out. That's heading towards. That's closer to Montauk.
Isn't that where Billy Joel's from? He sings about it.
I thought he lives in Nassau County.
Oh, we got nothing right here.
I thought he lives in Center Island.
And he's Italian. The biggest question is, seriously, and I know he's a great singer and he's a genius and he's wonderful, but how did he get Christie Brinkley? How did he get that piece of ass? Let's be honest.
Because he was Billy Joel.
Really?
Serenader.
Are you kidding me?
I know, but.
Did you see Rick Ocasek, who he married?
Very good point.
Oh, yeah.
Very good point.
I mean, he looked.
Yeah.
Billy Joel is a Jew from the Bronx. songs. But he had talent and he had money.
And he wrote her a song. It, put her on the video, Uptown Girl, the whole thing.
Uptown Girl. I like that song.
No, he was the man, so...
I guess that explains it.
Well, I mean...
Okay.
I'm shocked at your naivete.
Is he ugly?
He's not ugly, but he ain't, he ain't Bon Jovi.
Right.
Who,
by the way, ironically, he's been married to the same woman for a long time.
Like 35
in other words,
years.
He could have anything he wants
and
he wanted.
And he has had.
I was going to say.
But he's
stop.
Are you saying he's cheated on his wife?
Let me go on with this, okay?
Sure. Go ahead.
I remember one of the first interviews I ever did on radio. I'll never forget it. Like 1998, Jim Tomei, baseball player, Philadelphia.
I know who he is.
He was getting married. And I said, Jimmy, why would you get married? You just got your first multi-million-dollar contract. You're a superstar. Why would you get married and be with one woman? He said, because I love her. And I said, that's true. Plus, there's 81 away games.
Ernie and Sid in the morning.
Tribute to Billy Joel continues and ends here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Big day for Billy coming up in a couple of hours. Will be the big tribute headed by the owner of the Rangers, Nixon Liberty at Madison Square Garden, Jim Dolan, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and our friend, the big-time New York actor, Chaz Palminteri. Then later on tonight, right downstairs, 17 floors below us, Billy Joel will perform in Madison Square Garden for the 100th time, 54th, since he started his residency back in 2014. And we're happy for Billy, and thank you to Billy Joel for helping us put on a big-time show today. What a show coming up tomorrow. Whitney Cummings, who is just a brilliant stand-up comic. She's at Caroline's this weekend, but also a great writer, producer. She's had hit shows on every single network, and most recently, by the way, was the top writer for Roseanne's show until Roseanne effed that up. And she joined us a couple of months ago.
She was. Yeah, she's funny, and... She's keeping her promise. She promised she'd come in live when she came to New York, and she's fulfilling that promise.
Yeah, she'll be here tomorrow.
You gotta like that.
I do like that. And Perez Hilton, too. You know,
Perez Hilton.
You don't like him?
No, I don't know him, but he's a little bit of a loose, he's a little bit of a screwball, I think.
He's good, though.
Listen, I'm not, he's good. I'm trying to hype up the appearance in case people don't know who he is. It ain't Paris Hilton.
No.
It's Perez Hilton. He's a flamboyant gay guy. He's big on Twitter. He's very opinionated. And you never know what will happen during a Perez Hilton interview.
For years, and I'll include Entertainment Tonight and what's Mario Lopez's Extra, the old days of Pat O'Brien on what was his show back then? Not Inside Edition. That's
Access
Devin Norville.
Hollywood,
yeah, Access,
yeah,
maybe.
One of those things.
And Insiders, whatever.
All those shows, by the way, are so small today. They used to be big.
They're small
today.
They
really just don't matter anymore. They're irrelevant.
It's true. And they're irrelevant because of websites like Perez Hilton and TMZ, Harvey Levin. But Hilton has been one of the biggest voices in that industry, in that world, on the internet for many, many years. And like Bernie said, he's fiery and flamboyant, has a tendency to get really bitchy, and he'll be with us tomorrow. So listen, a couple of weeks ago, you and I brought on Billy Bob Thornton, and he was talking about his series Goliath. Now, I'm always looking for new good stuff on Netflix, on Amazon, something good. I've gone through Ozark. I can't wait for season 2. Love that show. I don't love Fowder. Sorry, Howard Stern, don't love it. I went through all of the Shameless episodes, all 7 seasons now on Showtime. So we're looking for good stuff, you know, Bernie. And I saw Goliath, and I said, you know, Mike Breen said it was great. And we love Breeny. And Billy Bob Thornton was great, surprisingly, with us. Remember, Jill, how good he was?
He was fantastic.
But I read that it's not doing so well.
So Danielle and I dove into Goliath. He plays this drunk attorney. At one point, he was a monster litigator. He has, like, the biggest firm in the country, but he's not there anymore. His wife is there, played by the very pretty Maria Bello. And he now is a bust-out drunk living in a motel, like an efficiency, a shell of what he used to be. But he gets a case. He's getting back on his feet, and you can see the genius early on. And I'm telling you that Billy Bob Thornton in Goliath is great. Not good, great. So if you're looking like we do every now and then on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu for the next show, right? With Ozark coming back, I think, next month.
Yeah.
Dive into Goliath. You'll love it. It's very, very good. Right. The acting is great.
Two thumbs up from Sid Rosenberg.
Two thumbs up, 10 toes up, whatever you want to do.
On a side note, did you know that Maria Bello is a lesbian?
I did know that.
Yeah, I knew that.
She also showed her vagina was not shaved with Viggo Mortensen in a movie. She was on the stairs. It was something violence. What was the name of that movie? A very popular movie. Something violence. It was very popular with Viggo. Anyway, that's a Maria Bello vision I'll never forget.
She looked like she had a red foo in a leg lock, one of those deals.
One of those buckwheat in her lap, that type of thing.
Did you hear about Josh Hader? He pitched last night in the All-Star game.
Josh Hader?
Yeah.
Yes, for the NL.
He pitched for, he's a Milwaukee Brewers pitcher.
Yes.
No, but okay, so he pitched, no.
So he, a bunch of tweets of his just came out. I guess because he pitched last night and he was on the national stage or something. I don't know why the timing is suspect, but he did pitch. But a bunch of tweets came out. And this is a cautionary tale for you young folk out there.
Right.
Whatever you do or say on the internet, it's going to live on forever.
Right.
So this is these are from August. This is from 2011 and 2012.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. 7 years ago.
And, he's just a bunch of random tweets. He's telling some woman, you have no butt, or the T word that rhymes with fits.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
And then he tells somebody else to S his C, I'll murder your family.
What?
And then,
by the way, that would be okay if he said it to Hillary Clinton, right? Then you'd be okay with that. It's
but
fine, right?
Here we go now. I hate gay people.
Oh, God.
That was August of 2011.
Oh, my God.
White power, LOL, February of 2012.
Oh, my God.
KKK, November of 2011. I mean, he retweeted KKK, and then actually uses the N-word at some point.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I didn't see when he... I was watching the game, but going back and forth. So I didn't see when he pitched last night, Bernard.
And this came out, by the way, before the All-Star game. So apparently, some of his family members who were wearing his jersey, they took it off.
I'm sure.
But he still pitched.
And one of my favorite guys in the business is Kevin Burkhart. You guys remember Kevin when he was here at SNY?
I used to work with the kid. He's a nice young lad.
He's a wonderful kid.
Yes, he is.
And he made it big. He was doing the on-field stuff with Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ron Darling for SNY.
He did updates at FAN. That's how he started.
Right. Now he's Mr. Baseball at Fox, moved him out to Los Angeles, gave him a ton of money.
Yeah.
He headed the pregame and postgame last night, had a great blue jacket on. I actually texted Kevin. I go, Danielle and I love your sport jacket. She goes, what are you doing? He's sitting there with David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, and Frank Thomas.
Right.
Don't text him. He's not going to text you back.
And he did.
Next commercial.
Wow.
Thanks, Sid. Miss you.
So
see, Danielle, be quiet. Well, I'm saying that now. She's not listening. She's in court. But
yeah, it's easy now, right?
But all these
Tell
guys.
Me up there, you, huh?
But all these guys are probably saying what a great guy.
So wait a second. You're telling me there's some tweets?
From who?
From Kevin Burkhart?
No, but I'm sure that all these guys are saying what a great guy this Milwaukee Brewer pitcher is. And here he comes making his All-Star debut. Wonderful young guy. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And then they find out after the game, like, I just found out what this guy tweeted.
Yeah.
And they feel like, oh.
They're calling him Haterade now.
That's funny.
So there you go, young folks.
Wow.
Stay off the machine. Don't say anything ugly.
Well, radio is the same way, by the way.
Everything. In your professional life, no matter what job you go for, whatever firm, they're gonna check your online history.
No, but only on social media and radio, something doesn't go away. Like, it doesn't go away. Like, if you work at a law firm and you say something, no one hears it. Who cares? But with us?
They care.
Yeah, but the world doesn't know about it.
What was the name of that lawyer who was screaming that
he got taped.
Hispanics. What was his name?
Jewish guy. Avi Rosen. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he got taped. He got taped. If you're not taped in an office and you say something, it goes away.
Hey, listen.
In our profession, I still hear about Venus today. I mean, come on. It was 18 years ago. Really?
Yeah, well, nobody else is paying attention to it. Nobody hears about it. You do because you pay close attention. But
I guess.
Aaron Schlossberg.
Aaron Schlossberg. I mean, if you put something on Twitter and you apply for a nice law firm.
Right.
That'll come back to haunt you. That law firm won't hire you.
Well, you're right.
So I'm trying to help the kids out.
You're amazing like that.
And don't major in communications. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we'll be back tomorrow.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.